It was 42%. The previous all-time low was 17%. That happened in 1994, in the months leading up to the Republican Revolution congressional election. Andy Rose, CNN.
Michael Jackson's personal assistant is due on the witness stand on day two of the Conrad Murray manslaughter trial. CNN's Ted Roland says prosecutors showed a controversial photo of Jackson's body on a gurney in the opening statements.
What they're trying to hammer home here was that this was the victim. He was an international star, and every one of those jurors, they know it, has an opinion and has some connection to Michael Jackson. They knew that in voir dire. They threw that picture out, and they established that connection very early.
A hearing in Tucson today will determine if Arizona shooting suspect Jared Loughner is competent to stand trial. He's accused of killing six people in a January shooting rampage that wounded Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. The annual cost for employee family health insurance jumped 9% this year, but employers are bearing the brunt of it. CNN's Dr. Sanjay Gupta says there's an important issue to be determined.
You got to see, is this a one-time spike, or is this something that's the beginning of a new trend? Look, insurance companies, when asked about this, are saying the health care costs continue to rise. That's the problem. Nothing has been done to control health care costs.
Andy Rooney's last regular appearance on 60 Minutes will be this Sunday. Rooney is now 92 years old. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Perlman.
Yes, Mr. Fernwell.
I've got an important job for you. Bob from Account Temps is on his way.
Bob?
Make sure he has an office, a laptop, some of those little yellow sticky notes.
Bob from Account Temps?
Yes, they always have highly skilled temporaries. Why, we may hire him full-time.
Full-time?
That'll free us up to go after new business, do more for our current clients.
Surf the Internet.
Pardon?
Is that out loud?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
My cousin Louise owns a small accounting firm. She's all about the numbers. She wanted to give her business a boost, so she signed up for Constant Contact. Constant Contact combines the power of email marketing and social media. Now when she emails messages to her customers, they share it with their friends. And Louise gets more new business calls than she can count. Well, actually she can, because she's an accountant.
Try a whole new way to do word of mouth at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact plans are as low as $15 a month, and now come with a money-back guarantee.
It is indisputable that Groupon, as well as several other daily deal websites, are huge successes for the site operators. But some vendors complain hot demand for the coupons often does not turn into the repeat business they obviously want. Groupon is trying to change that. New York Times reports it will roll out next month a loyalty program in which customers who spend a certain amount of money at a business will get a Groupon unlocked as a reward. The program begins in Philadelphia next month, rolling out to the rest of the nation soon after. Some members of the European Union who had agreed to a $150 billion rescue package for Greece this week are beginning to argue over the details, and that has basically stalled out the global stock rally we have enjoyed thus far this week. Japan's Nikkei finished near flat, most European markets losing 0.5% to 1%. S&P futures are gaining, but only 4 points. NASDAQ futures up 5. Dow futures doing a little better, up 41. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
You hear that? That's the sound of 68 million shopping carts being filled, 275,000 homes being built. Yep, that's the sound of a CSX train doing its part to move the economy forward. Sounds pretty good. CSX trains are the most efficient way to bring goods to market. See how at CSX.com. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
When I travel, I use WebEx for face-to-face meetings with clients online. We share documents and presentations, and they know, even though I'm not in the office, I'm always available to them. WebEx is awesome.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others. Anytime, anywhere. On their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WebEx.com.
Ultimate football fans, rejoice. Score a new TV at Sears. With top brands and our price match guarantee, if you find a better price, challenge the call and we'll match it. Plus, give you 10% of the difference. After further review, awesome.
Come into Sears to get an LG 47-inch 3D HD TV, a 3D Blu-ray player, plus four pairs of 3D glasses, all for just $999.99. Perfect for everyday use with the added excitement of 3D.
It's the ultimate football experience, only at Sears.
See store for price match policy and offer details. Prices may vary and less than Y. Sale ends 10-1.
So, you want to lease this new space for your business. Looks like it's set up for about 50 employees, but right now, you only have 19. I'm just curious, what are you going to do with the rest of the space?
Outgrow it.
Small business owners survive on confidence. And because Constant Contact has helped so many small businesses grow, we share that confidence. Starting at just $15 a month, you'll get powerful email marketing tools, a personal coach to help you every step of the way, even a money-back guarantee. Start...
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Tony Trupiano with you on this Wednesday morning. And man, oh man, is the week just flying by. We've got a great... great show planned for you today in the 7 o'clock hour. Wayne County Circuit Court Judge Mark Slavens will be with us. He's got a teen mentoring program that he's involved in that we would like to share with you. At 7:30, Steve Diebert will be with us. Steve, if you'll recall, was with us some months back. He is front and center on the fight to out mortgage foreclosures and the illegal activity that has surrounded them. That struggle continues. He has an update for us today at 7:30. At 8 o'clock, Stephen Henderson with the Detroit Free Press, as he is every week, will be joining us. We're going to spend a little time talking about, and we briefly mentioned it on the air yesterday, the Detroit cops that kind of, I don't know, beat the living tar out of a guy at the MGM casino. And so we're going to get into that. Stephen found that fascinating, so we're going to find out where he's coming from on that. And then at 8:35, William Grider from The Nation will be joining us. He's the keynote speaker at the Douglas Debs Dinner this Saturday in Dearborn, so we'll get a chance to say hey to him. And, of course, we'll have time for open lines this morning as we always try to build that time in, certainly in the 6 o'clock hour. And very much looking forward to engaging with you. So if you'd like to join us at any point throughout the show, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org, and on Twitter, @TonyTrupiano.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
And our first word this morning is opportunity. Some say opportunity only knocks once. I don't know. I think opportunity knocks as often as you pay attention. I think opportunity is about paying attention, and that's something that we don't seem to do a lot of in society today. Oh, some call it attention deficit disorder or whatever you want to call it. This is not something that needs to be medicated. Something that needs to be focused on. Opportunity is... really tied very much into how much you pay attention to what's happening in the world around you and then your chance to do something about it. Opportunity is our first word today. Kind of embrace it, hold it, and allow it to guide you. All right, and good morning to everybody. Jeffrey, as always, a pleasure to be with you on another glorious morning here on 1310 WDTW. As we already midweek, I don't know where the time goes, man, but it's just flying.
That means we're enjoying it. That means the show's going well.
I would agree. I would agree. We do have a new intern in studio. Anthony joins the first shift crew. He will be doing call screening, learning about this. Anthony also happens to be
my middle child. And so instead of, you know, we were going to get an intern anyway, might as well, you know, do a little nepotism in the process. So
good. Can't go wrong with that.
No. Let's say good morning. Good morning, Anthony. How you doing today?
Doing good.
Good. Are you sure you want to do this, huh?
Definitely.
All right. Well, you know, it's yours. It's there in front of you. Learn. You know, you got two great people in there to learn from. So make sure you pay attention and make sure you let those callers know who's in charge. All right.
I'll definitely do that.
You're the boss. Absolutely. All right. Well, Jeffrey, we find ourselves today's the last day of the baseball season, regular season. Tigers still have a slight chance at having home field advantage. At this point, I could care less. I just want the playoffs to start, whether they have home field advantage or not. They did win last night, for what it's worth. I guess it's worth something. We've got all the drama going on with the wild card, which has been kind of interesting.
It's been weird for the Tigers to not have to worry about, you know, this last day. Hey, we went to 163 a couple years ago.
Yeah.
So now, you know, to have almost 2 weeks in tow and not worry about, are we going to make the playoffs? Really, you're right. The only thing they're worried about is, are we going to host a first-round game or are we going to have to go on the road?
And do you think they really cared about that? Do you think the players really cared about that? Is that something that motivates you as a player? You know, I'd really like to have home field.
I don't think so. I think it's and I listened to the pregame show last night on the radio before the Tigers, and they talked to Jim Leland about that. Or at least, you know, about their mindset heading into the upcoming playoffs. And he said, look, what's going to happen is we're going to pack our suitcase. We're going to bring them to the stadium tomorrow. And either we unpack them back in our homes or we take them on the road. I mean, they're real loose with it. And I think it's, you know, it starts at the top, starts with Jim Leland. And if he has that kind of attitude, they're all going to have that attitude.
Well, I agree. And he certainly has proved himself to be a leader. It's clear that when I think basketball has always been to me the most interesting coaching challenge, as we saw with the Detroit Pistons last year, where individual personalities can really kind of pollute a team. Jim Leland has a lot of certainly some big name players on the Detroit Tigers roster. And do you ever hear? In fact, I read an article with Doug Pfister last week. He was interviewed. And he talked, as did Delmon Young, talked about the family atmosphere in that clubhouse. That has to be Jim Leland's influence. I think that's clear.
That's part of it, I would say, probably a large part of it. And also, you know, they've gotten rid of some guys who didn't help out there, and they've also brought in some guys. And I think that's one of the things people don't get about why Brandon Inge, having him around is important. Maybe not on the field because people don't like the way he plays, but in the clubhouse, he is the guy who's been here the longest. He's a veteran. He's a good clubhouse guy. So, you know, it's good to see him still around with the Tigers.
Well, you know, and we should probably just mention it because the season started, actually spring training started, with Miguel Cabrera being pulled over for driving under the influence. And you really kind of looked at the beginning of the season and said, how is this going to affect, and what did he miss? A couple weeks of spring training because of that? So you wonder, okay, how is this going to affect the team? Obviously, it brought them closer. It has to have, because it certainly didn't seem to affect them at all this season. They've dealt with it quite well, and although, you know, they're having, you know, the legal process is still ongoing. It didn't become an interruption of the season. And at some point, and I don't know about you, but I'm thinking, great. You know, here we've got this superstar stud. He signed, making millions of dollars. Is this what he's going to turn out to be? And it wasn't that. We only need to go back a couple years to remember that he showed up to an important game pretty hungover and may have cost us a playoff run because of that. So, a good year, all in all. I think that Jim Leland did a great job of keeping this club together, certainly instilling that sense of family in them, which, again, Delmon Young and Doug Pfister both, who came in during the season, remarked on, quite profoundly that they, when they came into this team, they were accepted and they felt like it was special. The word special gets brought up a lot. And I think that that's probably true. We'll take the Yankees out of it. They're just so used to being the Yankees that I don't know that what they have there is as much closeness as it is tradition, if that makes any sense to you, Jeff?
No, yeah, it does. And I think this team is a little bit special. They do get along better than, I mean, I think that's true mainly of the winning teams. You know, first of all, if you're winning, you feel a lot better about the guys around you. But also, you know, maybe you're winning because of that. Last year, and I think this is kind of interesting, last year when Texas won, you know, and made it to the playoffs, they didn't celebrate with alcohol. They celebrated with apple juice because of their star, Josh Hamilton, and his, you know, his battling with sobriety. This year, when the Tigers won it all, everyone was waiting to see how they would do it, and they didn't do it, you know, with apple juice. They did celebrate with champagne and whatnot. But I thought it was even more interesting is how they dealt with Miguel Cabrera. He stayed in the back, didn't get around the champagne or the alcohol beverages, and yet he wasn't alone. Carlos Guillen was back there. I think even Mags went back to make sure, you know, they made sure he felt included, even though he wasn't out in the forefront getting sprayed down or what have you. So that's you know, team looking out for its teammate. And I think that might speak to them doing well in the playoffs because they do look out for each other.
Now, I know I'm excited. And so the playoffs begin Friday. Now, there may be a game 163 in both the American and the National League. Today, depending on how some of these games go, because, the wild card is not completely set yet. But we know that after the game today, we don't play again until either Friday at 5:07 or Friday at 8:27, and we will either be at home or we will be away. And that's what we know, and, you know, let's bring it on. Let's do it.
If you're the Yankees and you've got the top spot locked up, do you lose on purpose today to help the Red Sox not make the playoffs?
I think you do. And don't tell me that conversation, because if it's happened in the sports page, it's happened in the clubhouse. Don't tell me it hasn't, because it has.
I the integrity of the game, I'm telling you, yeah. That's, they should not. They will never admit it, because obviously you don't lose on purpose at any point in the season. But that's got to be a thought in the back of their head.
Well, you're right. It is. I'm going to go, that could actually happen. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. We've got a lot of stuff to get to. When we come back, we're going to take a step back and look at what the media is doing these days with regard to presidential elections. And, you know, we're a lot of months out of even the first primary. And it seems like it's nothing but political or presidential politics 24/7. Is it too early? That's the question. And then again, feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. Say hello to Anthony, who will be answering the phone. This and every morning here on First Shift. We'll take the break and be back on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trivia.
Over the last decade, we have spent $1 trillion on war at a time of rising debt and hard economic times. Now, we must invest in America's greatest resource, our people.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Things are looking fine on the roads so far. The roads are starting to dry out just a little bit, and that, of course, is a good thing. 96 in both directions between Milford Road and Kent Lake Road. Got some work in the median there that will slow you down on the eastbound side a little bit later on this morning because of the traffic shift. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Well, forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, cloudy, occasional showers, a high near 65. Tonight, the showers will linger, mostly cloudy, a low around 49. And then tomorrow, partly sunny, a very slight chance for a shower, a high in the mid-60s. Right now, it's overcast and 58 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Listen to Real Radio or create your own custom stations. Download the new iHeartRadio app for your iPhone at iHeartRadio.com or iTunes.com/iHeartRadio, where you can also download music from festival artists like Lady Gaga, Jay-Z, Coldplay, and more.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-5855.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org, and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
For a limited time, you can add the OnStar FMB mirror to your car for only $199. It's like having a portable nav, a roadside assistance plan, Bluetooth, and a stolen vehicle system, plus automatic help in a crash. And it's compatible with most cars. Add OnStar FMB to your car at Best Buy for only $199 MSRP after instant rebate. Tax, installation, and OnStar subscription extra. Visit OnStar.com for availability, limitations, details, and more retailers. Hurry. Offer ends October 31st, 2011.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today. Tweet. My favorite way to wake up in the morning is with Tony Trupiano. And First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now here's Tony.
And welcome back. It is 22 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Wednesday morning First Shift program. I want to thank you all for punching in early with us today, and we do have some calls coming in. You know, again, this is our show. This is our movement, and so I want you to engage us as often as in any way you possibly can. I will tell you, and I think, Jeff, I got to give you part of the credit for this. You know, the podcast hits are just growing. It's exploding. And I know you spent a lot of time marketing the podcast on the station here. I get email all day long from people that listen to the podcast, which is a wonderful way for people to engage in the program, especially the early, this first hour, where a lot of people just aren't up or they're very busy. So it's great. Anyway, if you'd like to join us at any time, 888-552-3595. Let's go to my friend Tom in Detroit. Tom, thanks again for calling up this morning. How you doing today?
I'm doing fine, Tony. How about you?
You know, Tom, before you get to what you want to talk about, about a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, we had a filmmaker on by the name of Gary Glazer. And Gary did a documentary on the old Hudson's Building. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching this documentary, and a guy gets up in a city council meeting, and he's talking, and I'm listening, and it was you. You were in that documentary.
Yeah, you know, and I didn't know it at the time, and I was later on that evening, David Newman, who was on the radio at the time.
Absolutely great guy.
He, you know, very cerebral, and he used all of these wonderful flowery adjectives to describe me, and I says, I resemble all of the above.
Anyway, I thought it was pretty cool. I immediately recognized your voice, and anyway, I just thought it was kind of interesting. What's on your mind this morning, Tom?
Well, you know, I don't know if you saw it last night, but Channel 7 did a thing on, you know, you got this thing called Detroit 2020, and it was a discussion about race, and they had quite a diverse panel of people there, and, you know, they talked about it. But, you know, my thing is this, I mean, it's been long overdue. I remember back up at the Mackinac back a few years ago. I think it was Emory King and Devin Scillian. They kind of touched on it a little bit, but it didn't go anywhere from there.
Yeah, but I remember that.
Yeah, and the bottom line comes down to this. I mean, though we may look different, we are all one down here in this area. And, I mean, you know, we can, you know, stand united or fall divided. We have got to get over this thing, you know, about this racial situation. Because, I mean, that's what's killing, and it's one of the things that's killing this area to the point where, you know, we don't really truly come together. And don't get me wrong. We're never going to have total truly coming together. But I think more of us can come together than where we are right now.
Well, there's no question, Tom, that's true. And you have been listening to me for a long time now. I have well over, mm-hmm. you know, but with the exception of the time I was off air, you know, I have always been an advocate for the city of Detroit. And as you know, because you listen to the show on a fairly regular basis, the audience... my audience is quite integrated, probably more than any other radio audience that we have here in the city of Detroit. And I'm very proud of the fact that, you know, although we don't always agree on our points of view on issues, we do have a very intelligent audience. We certainly have a very diverse audience, and I'm very, very proud of that. But ultimately, the question I ask myself from time to time is, you know, does it matter? You know, does it matter? And I think it does matter, Tom. I think that's important that we have a platform, and this radio show being that, where we can come together and talk freely about issues and honestly about issues. You're right. We need to get over ourselves. I mean, this idea that we don't all want the same thing. We do. We want Detroit to prosper. Oh, you don't have to fear going downtown.
No.
You know, and Tom, there are bad parts of Ferndale, let alone bad parts of downtown Detroit. So,
there are
you know,
bad parts of everything.
Absolutely. You know? Even in I live in Dearborn Heights. There are areas of Dearborn Heights that I'm not terribly proud of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, you know, we have to just let go of this idea that the reason Detroit is the way it is because of color. It has absolutely nothing to do with that.
That's true. That's true. And let me say this, and I'm going to go. I applaud Channel 7 for, you know, taking this step. And as the adage says, if a journey of 1,000 miles is to begin, it's got to begin with that first step. This is a first step in terms of at least putting it out there and talking. And your show, as well as some of these others that are on as well, as long as we've got dialogue, as long as we're talking to one another instead of at one another, we can progress.
I agree. And Tom, thank you for your thoughtful insight into that. And I did not see that program last night. In fact, I turned the TV on just as it was getting over. I saw the credits running, so I did not get a chance to see that. But certainly we have proven over the course of the time on air since we've been on in May, you know, that we've actually dealt with the issue of racism more than one time, of course. And we grow, and we continue to grow, which is a good thing. And Tom's right. As long as there's a dialogue, as long as there's an open dialogue, there's hope. I think of some of the guests that we've had on the show, the people that, you know, do the tours of Detroit. Stephen Henderson is a great example. He's a great champion of the city, but he's also a realist. We need realism. There's no question that's true. When we talk about, you know, he talks about the Mackinac, Tom was mentioning the Mackinac Policy Conference. You know, why do we need to travel, you know, a few hundred, 300 miles or so or more from home to have a conversation about race? It should be happening here. We don't need to go up to Mackinac Island to have that discussion. I don't know, Tom's right, and I think we all know that. Inherently, there's always going to be some prejudice, and it may not even be the color of someone's skin. It may be how much money they have in their pocket. The prejudice can come from somebody's political point of view. Prejudice is wrapped in lots of different outfits, and so it's not necessarily just the color of somebody's skin that forces that divide. How do we move beyond that? Well, it takes, again, a great conversation, and it'll take some sacrifice, but it takes progress. Ultimately, it takes progress, and it takes some good news. And in fact, you know, let me just very quickly here, before we have to get to the break, talk about our poll question of the day. Congressman Hanson Clark has fashioned a proposal, and if you go to either thefreep.com or debtnews.com today, you can read all about it. But Congressman Hanson Clark has fashioned a proposal that would allow the city of Detroit to keep 100% of the federal tax dollars that are collected in Detroit for 5 years to use for infrastructure repair and revitalization, generating up to $2 billion per year. And then I ask if you support this plan, and early on, everybody is supporting this plan. It would also get rid of the city income tax. You know, this proposal would get rid of the city income tax. There's much more to it than just, hey, you know, we're going to collect the dollars and let Detroit keep them. It's more than just that. There's obviously more to it than that, but that's the base of the program. We need to see, and I've said this repeatedly, I've been saying this for years, as Detroit goes, so goes Michigan. And I still believe that. And we need to start revitalizing the city. There's no question that's true. And the one thing I can even, you know, I'm not a big fan of Mayor Dave Bing, but the one thing I agree with is that as the city has become smaller in population, we also need to start looking at how to take care of it in a smaller way. And that's just practical. It's logical. All right, let's take a quick break here. 888-552-3595 if you care to join us. I'm Tony Trupiano. Thank you for punching in this morning. We'll be back right after this on 1310 WDTW.
Continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. This tunnel traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. Things are looking great on the freeways right now. Traffic volumes are light. Moving at posted speeds, the roads are drying out as well. Just a reminder, M59 westbound, that ramp to southbound 75 is currently closed. The eastbound side ramp to northbound 75 is closed as well. All of that for road construction. I'm Russ with traffic.
Stop by McDonald's today and start collecting McCafe rewards points. Points are available on all medium and large hot McCafe and premium roast coffee cups. Collect 5 points and your sixth beverage is free. McCafe rewards, only available at McDonald's. I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, occasional showers, a high in the mid-60s. A pretty good chance we'll see a shower today. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 49, a chance for a shower overnight as well. And then tomorrow, very slight chance for a shower, partly sunny, a high right around 65. Right now, it's overcast and 58 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Postal workers and supporters are rallying to save the U.S. Postal Service. Jesse Russell reports.
The men and women of the United States Postal Service held rallies in every congressional district in the country yesterday. Their goal was to deliver a message to Congress about how to proceed regarding the Postal Service's financial crisis. The workers see the crisis as being caused in part by a 2006 congressional mandate that requires the Postal Service to pre-fund future retiree health benefits for the next 75 years. They have a decade to achieve this goal, requiring payments of $5.5 billion per year. The postal workers want Congress to pass a bill that would allow the Postal Service to pay for their operating budget out of the money they've overpaid into retiree health care. There are a number of bills being floated in Congress, and few actually include a provision that would loosen the 2006 mandate. Instead, they tend to rely on laying off hundreds of thousands of workers, ending mail service on Saturdays, and shuttering nearly 500 mail processing facilities.
Since September 17th, protesters have occupied Wall Street, delivering a message that we are the 99% and will no longer tolerate the greed and corruption of the 1%. Occupy Wall Street describes itself as a leaderless and diverse resistance movement active in the occupation of Wall Street. They and other groups like the NYC General Assembly and U.S. Days of Rage are helping to organize the occupation. They're setting up beds, kitchens, and peaceful barricades and say they're using Arab Spring tactics to restore democracy in America. Here are the voices of some of the 99% who are occupying Wall Street.
I'm Camille Raneem. I'm from New York. Occupy Wall Street is about taking back my community and reestablishing what it is to have a true home on this planet.
My name is Marina Citrin, and I live in Brooklyn, New York. And what this is about for me most is exercising our long sleeping democracy muscle.
Well, my name's Ashley, and I'm from Canton, Ohio. I got here on a bus yesterday. I make, like, maybe $50 a week. I live on nothing, and I just hate that money and greed and corruption is pretty much making our laws and running the country. And that's why I'm here. I don't like it, and I want it to stop.
My name is Miriam. I live in New York, and I'm here because I want this to be a country where the government takes care of people who need help and takes care of all of its people rather than taking care of the richest people and the corporations.
This newscast made possible in part by Ulico, the Union Labor Life Insurance Company. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now here's Tony.
Welcome back. So here the scenario really is we have, we're 15 months out of the election. We're a good 4 months away from primary season. We have local elections coming up here in less than a month. And yet, you know, the conversation is nothing about presidential politics, presidential politics, presidential politics. Jeff, as you were looking for audio this morning, of course, the big story this morning that we're not going to get into is whether or not Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, is going to jump into the race, right? That seems to be the story that's out there this morning.
Yep, that is it.
And who cares? It doesn't matter. The last thing we need is another loudmouth Republican getting into the race.
Did you see the unique way that The View went at it? Is Chris Christie too fat to be president?
Well, you know, there is something to be said for that. I got to tell you, being a fat guy myself, so I feel a little safer saying this, every time I look at the guy, I think you need to lose weight. I mean, he looks uncomfortable in his own skin. I mean, he's a big dude. He's a really big dude.
How weird is the disposition or the differences when you have like Michelle Obama in office right now, she's not in office, but she's the first lady talking about, you know, eating healthy and getting kids to be more healthy, and then to suddenly switch from Democrat to Republican, from liberal to conservative, from healthy to not so healthy, Christie. I guess.
Well, so anyway, that's the discussion this morning. And, you know, there are pundits all over the place. It's too late. He should do it. He shouldn't do it. It doesn't matter. We're not going to get into that this morning. He's not a candidate. We're not going to make that an issue. Sarah Palin, though, because Jeff just loves her. You really do enjoy her. And I mean that from a comedic standpoint.
Right. Yeah. Very. I'm entertained by the crazy.
He really is.
She has.
In fact, this morning he was like a kid in a candy store because she gave an interview to Fox News's Greta Van Susteren yesterday. And so I come in this morning and Jeff gets here about a half an hour before I do. And so he's, oh, I got all these Sarah Palin cuts. And I must have rolled my eyes. But anyway, there are a couple that we want to air. Todd, go with the second one. Where the 38-second clip. Go with that one first.
I am a proponent, though, of the media providing as much coverage of candidates in order to vet these candidates as possible. But, again, I do believe that there's a lot of entertainment value and ratings value involved in this quasi-reality show that is being created through the GOP primary at this point. It's quite fascinating. It's interesting. A lot of viewers, a lot of readers, we don't have time to, sit in front of a TV 24 hours a day and try to get all the most important information. So, we're filtering it ourselves and taking what's important to us and making decisions based on that.
Okay, can anybody tell me what she just said?
She was on, like, both sides of the aisle multiple times. I was blown away. I mean, you hate the coverage that the media gives, then you love it, then you want the American people to have as much information as possible, but wait, they don't pay attention anyway, but we'll filter it out and we'll get to the end of it, and then the end.
Right.
Like, I mean, I don't know if you ever saw that Saturday Night Live skit where they said George Bush should just say the end, or actually it's a Frank Catalanato. Frank Caliendo skit where he's like, at the end of it, he should just say the end, so you know he's done talking.
Right. Well, anyway, so she just kind of bloviates on and on and on. Again, she's on all sides of the issue. Whatever the issue is, now I'm kind of guessing again, I heard it, so I'm guessing it's about the media coverage of the candidates and that it's a quasi-reality TV show, which is kind of true, but I mean, it's not different than any other cycle, so that's not new information. And then she says, we don't have time to sit in front of our TVs 24/7, yet we do, because we do sit in front of our TVs 24/7, so I don't agree with what she has to say there. Anyway, she goes on to talk about, and Jeff liked this, and in fact, we need to set this up properly. It's the wrong time of the day to do the drinking game, so I guess we can use coffee as an example. So every time Sarah Palin, is this how we're going to do it, Jeff? Every time Sarah Palin uses a cliche, you got to drink your coffee?
You could play the Sarah Palin cliche drinking game, sure.
All right.
Coffee drinking game.
Was this yours? Because, you know, is this your idea?
I just, when I heard the clip, yeah.
All right. So here's the deal. In the next clip, you're going to get a caffeine buzz. Every time Sarah Palin uses a cliche, I want you to drink, take a sip of your coffee. Go ahead, Todd.
Is a title worth it? Does a title shackle a person? Are they someone like me who's maverick? You know, I do go rogue and I call it like I see it and I don't mind stirring it up in order to get people to think and debate aggressively and to find solutions to the problems that our country's facing. Somebody like me, is a title and is a campaign too shackling? Does that prohibit me from being out there out of a box, not allowing handlers to shape me and to force my message to be what donors or what contributors or what political pundits want it to be? Does a title take away my freedom to call it like I see it and to affect positive change that we need in this country? That's the biggest contemplation piece in my process.
All right. Now, I counted 10 cliches. It might be 9. But I counted 10. Did you count, Jeff?
I was up around there.
All right. So I counted 10, but it may be 9. One of them was, and I don't remember which one it was, kind of shaky. But, yeah, I mean, literally, that's a fifth. By the way, that's 53 seconds long. 9 or 10 cliches.
She was throwing them out there like crazy at the beginning.
So that's a cliche every 5 seconds. I mean, you almost have to work at that. Maybe that's a talent. Maybe there's a gift involved in doing that.
Well, that's what happens when you're a maverick and you're rogue and you call it like you see it.
And you think out of the box. And yeah.
The funniest part is the point of what she's saying is that she almost doesn't want to be president because it might keep her down, might shackle her too much.
It would. Not only would it shackle her, it would turn off the water faucets that is we call money. I mean, she has basically just been, it's been raining money for her ever since she quit her job as governor of Alaska. Why would she turn off that money faucet? I can't imagine why she'd walk away from that. Oh, I mean, you could say, well, to be the leader of the third world, or the third world. Well, under Palin, we would be the third world, of the free world. Let me say this, Jeff. I think she knows she can't get elected president to the presidency. I think she knows that. I don't think she's stupid.
You don't think she's stupid?
I think she's naive at times. I don't know. I don't think this is a stupid woman. I really don't.
I think it's funny that she's running without actually saying she's running, because in this interview, she even makes reference to, well, one of the polls has me only 5 points behind Barack Obama.
Right. And by the way, I need to tell people I limited Jeff to only 2 sound bites. I know that was hard for
you. You're probably
you.
Getting hate mail already for playing Palin this early in the
morning. Well, not yet, but I'm sure it's coming. Anyway, let's go to the phones. 888-552-3595. Dave in Farmington punches in with us this morning. Dave, good morning to you. What's on your mind?
Just the hypocrisy of Ms. Palin. She's criticizing. One of her first criticisms of the clip that you, the former clip that you played, was that the media has turned the GOP primary into a quasi
reality show. Right.
And this is the same woman that tried to cash in, or has cashed in, on a reality show, had her daughter participate in reality shows, because I do not believe beyond a second that her daughter would do the reality shows without her, you know, approval or backing.
No, I would agree.
And it's almost, so are you jealous that it has turned into a quasi-reality show and taken line off you? Or are you just blatantly a hypocrite?
Dave, you bring up some really important points here. And let's take a step back. Where would Bristol Palin be without her mother's notoriety? I mean, she's actually got some pretty comfortable cash in her own pocket because of her mother. Sarah Palin.
Oh, right.
Has made
just be another single woman without a husband and a child.
Absolutely. Sarah Palin has made millions upon millions of dollars just taking advantage of a mindset. Think about Dave, just think about for a moment. She's not stupid, and I never suggest that she's stupid, but I also don't think she's the sharpest knife in the drawer either. And yet the American people have literally thrown millions of dollars at this woman as some kind of hero.
Maybe the word you ought to be using is she's not wise.
Okay.
It's not wise to allow a 17-year-old boyfriend to live in the basement with your 16-year-old daughter.
Yeah, that's not wise.
It's not wise then to turn around and preach against premarital sex. It's not wise to say, I'll run for governor, win that election, and then 2 years into it, to quit. Those aren't wise decisions.
No, they weren't wise. Well, they were wise for her personally. They were not wise for her in any other way. I just don't understand, and Dave, thank you for your call. I do not understand what the American people's fascination with her is. If somebody wants to call and share that with me, and again, Jeff, this is what I get. She is attractive. I'll give you that. She is attractive, so I understand that there are going to be, especially men, certain men that are going to find her appealing. That I get. And I'm thinking men that aren't very savvy politically. You know, they're thinking they want a bagger, right? I mean, let's just be honest about it. Let's just be honest. There are guys that look at Sarah Palin and say, damn, man, I'd like to give you some of that.
I assume you're right.
No, I mean, seriously, there are. But outside of that, politically, what does she offer? What does she offer that isn't available elsewhere? I mean, I realize John McCain put her as a vice presidential candidate on the ticket. I get that he created this monster.
She's folksy. She tells it like it is, Tony. She's a rogue. She's a maverick.
No, that's right.
You don't get that anywhere else.
Keep going. Keep going. You're just getting warmed up, Jeff.
I'll tell you why I think I'm entertained by her. She's a train wreck. I love it.
Yeah, well, that's you. But, I mean, you're not throwing money at her.
Oh, definitely. Well, no. I did get her book. But I didn't pay for it. I mean, it was given to me.
Okay,
so.
Well, quick break here. 888-552-3595. What's her appeal? Anybody out there want to share with me what her appeal is? I'm not going to criticize. I just want to know. What's her appeal? 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. We'll take the break and be back.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
I'm Lori, and I'm going to Walgreens to avoid a repeat of last year when my daughter caught a cold.
Mom, chicken soup!
And spread it to the whole family.
Mom, tissues, please!
Honey, more orange juice!
At Walgreens, I can find answers, like Clorox disinfecting wipes, which kill 99.9% of germs and help stop the spread of cold and flu viruses. This year, I'll be ready.
Now save on 2 35-count canisters of Clorox disinfecting wipes with in-store coupon. Walgreens, there's a way to stay well. Use as directed.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very goodly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Recently on First Shift,
Fox News is fair and balanced. It's sleepy. Healthcare is a privilege and not a right. We can work together to wipe out the middle class. Now when I count to three and snap my fingers, you'll awake confused and vote Republican.
First chip with Tony Trivia on 1310 WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Chip with Tony Triano
on 1310
WDTW.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Just thinking of Roy Zimmerman. Great, great hour of radio yesterday. Got a great response to him. Obviously, nobody wanted to call and tell us why Sarah Palin's the stuff, man. I really don't get it. All right, so Jeff and I were having a little bit of a debate before the show. We're going to share it with you now. And feel free to bring us up on this as well. 888-552-3595. Hallmark has, they're always looking for new market. Let's go ahead and play the piece, and then we'll come back and
business
talk about
of
it.
Selling sentiments.
That's pretty funny.
There's a card for everything.
I get no job!
Cards with sound, for sympathy, for losing a tooth. But losing a job? Yes, now there's a card for that, too.
Don't think of it as losing your job. Think of it as a timeout between stupid bosses. Yeah, I mean, that would be clever to give to someone.
So this one we just got in.
Hallmark recently rolled out a new line of layoff greeting cards, a specific section for job loss and recession humor offering words of support and encouragement. With the unemployment rate at 9%, the company says customers called in the need.
That's a good idea. There's a lot of people out there that...
I'd have to say that they would sell more in Indiana than anywhere else.
Absolutely.
No, I think I'd do more to help them find a job than remind them that they have one.
I think it'd be sellable.
But what about people on the receiving end of these cards? Will these lines really go over well with folks in the unemployment line?
The crazy part to think about this is there's so many people laid off.
These ladies work with those out of work every day.
Getting a card like that and someone caring is fabulous. At least someone's caring enough to, you know, get a card and say, you know, thinking of you.
And I think it's neat that there is a card there that can say what needs to be said in a situation like that, because sometimes it's just hard to find the words.
Messages reflecting the current culture.
That is sad. I mean, it just really...
The 1 in 10 people you can mail it to.
Absolutely.
Perhaps a sign of the times.
All right, so here is the question. Oh, well, we got a caller. All right. Let's take the call, and we'll come back to this, because Jeff and I were debating this, and if we have to come back to it later on the show, we will. Let's welcome Doris and Flynn. Hey, Doris, good morning to you. How are you today?
Good morning. Fine. I'm already down here, so I can call you from Detroit. You know, when you said, what is this a fascination and appeal? And I thought about that for a long time, way back, and I had a thought about it. One of the things is we do know that what's happening in the educational system, and some call it dumbed down, you know, civics is not there, critical thinking is not there, and I think that has helped bring people to the point of not being able to make certain assessments. Number two, you know, a lot of people are just average people, normal people, not particularly fancy people, but, or glitzy in any way. Now, Sarah Palin has a glitz about her. She's not stupid, but that doesn't mean your mind isn't open, that you have an open mind, that you know how to be critical, that you can get out of a box, to be frank. So being glitzy doesn't change that. But I think a lot of ordinary people who maybe not feel particularly educated or knowledgeable, and I'm not talking about degrees, who maybe aren't that articulate or whatever, all of a sudden this person comes on the scene that says, wow, you know, I want to relate to her because she's kind of glitzy. There was a contest a while back that said, give us, you know, three words to describe her. And I didn't get in, but mine was gits with glitz. And I think that certain people can identify because she's sort of glitzy, and they're not. And she also isn't particularly well-informed or knowledgeable, but she's glitzy, and she can talk at end, often meaninglessly, but... they identify and are comfortable because someone's brave enough or courageous enough or silly enough to get up and talk like that. And I think they like to identify with those right-wing things they haven't thought about or don't really understand. And here's this person to represent that. I really think that's part of it.
Well, you know, and I don't disagree with you, because that is part of it. It's like she's one of us, but she's not one of us. You're right. She is glitzy. I mean, she's an attractive person. To characterize her as being not terribly bright. I know she's not articulate, Doris. She's not very articulate. And the two audio files that we played today, she rambled on and on and on without saying a damn thing.
Exactly. But some people, some people would know better, like say, if I can't express myself well, I won't do it. You know, people that are more critical, people that are expect more from themselves, say they wouldn't do that. Well, here you have people who don't even know what they're talking about sometimes, who just ramble on, and now, hey, there's my mascot. You know, gee, they're like me, and they're even glitzier than I am. Oh, I want to identify with them. You know, like with a movie star or whatever. She sort of makes being... and I'm not saying stupid. No, I wouldn't say she's stupid, but that's different than being ignorant, being uninformed, being provincial,
yeah.
Being non-critical. Those are the kinds of things that I see in Sarah Palin that many people like that will relate to.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Doris, I appreciate your thoughts on this. And again, she's an enigma. There's no question about that. It's just all very interesting. So that's... As long as Jeff has a fascination, I would imagine we will come back to Sarah Palin from time to time. By the way, she never did announce, she's not announced yet whether or not she's going to run, right, Jeff?
No, they talked about it in the interview. She her campaign or her headquarters, I don't know what you can officially call them, sent out an interesting release to donors of her campaign saying that an announcement will be coming soon. And so she kind of backed off of those. She wouldn't comment on that. But, yeah, I mean, I think she's playing it perfectly right now. If she's 5% in the polls, supposedly, and hasn't even declared yet, she's staying. She doesn't have to go to the debates and look stupid. She can look stupid without going to the debates, but she doesn't have to be part of any of that. And it's probably, like you said, she can sit back and collect money still.
Yeah. Very interesting. Okay, so, we don't really have time to do the Hallmark thing justice now, so I'm not going to go there. We'll do it... maybe in the 8 o'clock hour. We have a lot of guests today. We've had a lot of guests this week, Jeff. You know, I was doing some organizing over the weekend, and since we have been on the air, we have had well over 300 guests on this show since May.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking about organizing is we need a hashtag. You know, we had the union, the We Party people.
Yeah.
And I'm going to use their hashtag 1U.
Right.
But I was thinking we should come up with a hashtag as well.
For the show?
That we can throw out there. Yeah, sort of. And I was wondering, what do you think about this? Hashtag GUSU. Get up, stand up.
Get up, stand up. I like that.
We'll have to think. Maybe we'll think of something else. But so far, it's got to be short like that.
Well, we've got a smart audience. So those of you that are Twitter savvy to some degree and would like to give us some suggestions, it's either Jeff@thetonyshow.org or Tony@thetonyshow.org. Either works. Maybe the audience, the collective consciousness. I also wanted to do a contest. Jeff and I talked about this. Somebody to write a theme song for the show, and Jeff said, well, I don't know that we've got, the kind of talent pool out there yet. So,
oh, man, the view under this bus is amazing.
I didn't throw you under the bus. It was a conversation we had. You want me to throw you under the bus? Wait till the next hour.
Okay.
Trust me, I'm really good at it. I'm really good at this. Ask Anthony. He'll tell you. I can throw anyone under the bus. I'm never wrong. According to my children, I'm never wrong. Anyway, we're going to take a break here. Russ coming up with traffic and weather, CNN with headline news. Judge Mark Slavin's in the next hour. Stay with us. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic. WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, that low pressure system is still spinning just off to our west, and that's going to cause us to have showers and clouds all day today. A high near 65 tonight, still a chance of showers, cloudy, a low around 49, and then tomorrow, partly sunny, A high in the mid-60s, but still a slight chance for a shower in there, too. Right now, it's overcast and 58 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after the top of the hour.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today. Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW.
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news from CNN.
Top story this hour, people are apparently fed up with the gridlock in Washington. CNN's Andy Rose reports it's taking a toll on what Americans think about their government.
Since Watergate, we've hardly ever seen a majority of Americans say they trust Washington most of the time, but it's never been this bad before. The new CNN ORC poll shows only 15% of people think the federal government will usually do the right thing. Nearly 1 in 10 say they never trust the government.
Michael Jackson's personal assistant, Michael Amir Williams, is expected to describe the day Jackson died when he testifies at the Conrad Murray manslaughter trial today. Kenny Ortega, who was co-director of the This Is It tour, told jurors Tuesday about a confrontation he had with Dr. Murray after an incoherent Jackson left rehearsal early in June of 2009.
He said, I should stop trying to be an amateur doctor and psychologist and be the director and allow Michael's health to him.
Jurors were shown a controversial photo of Jackson's body on a gurney. A hearing in Arizona today will determine if Tucson shooting suspect Jared Loughner is competent to stand trial. Six people were killed in the January shooting rampage, and Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords was wounded. A significant number of Medicare patients who leave the hospital are back within 30 days. Dr. David Goodman, co-director of the Dartmouth Atlas Project, says the results were very discouraging and show things need to change.
There was no place that stood out in terms of dramatically improving the care and the experience of patients. In most places, there was no change at all, and in very few places, hospital readmission rates actually worsened.
Rumors are swirling about Amazon's big announcement plan for today. The maker of the world's most popular e-book is expected to unveil a color touchscreen tablet called the Kindle Fire. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
For this flu season, a friend gave me some good advice. Get ready before you get sick.
Wendy Frank, I'm preparing for flu season at Sam's Club.
I'm getting ready with Dimetapp Cold and Cough, Delsym, Mucinex.
And saving, too. Last year, members saved an average of 50% more than traditional retailers on over-the-counter items.
And while I'm here, I'm stopping by the pharmacy for a flu shot.
Get yours now through November 15th.
That's my advice.
For more details, visit samsclub.com/healthyliving. Sam's Club. Savings made simple.
I'm in the, we use 50 kinds of fasteners, and if we run low, we need more of them. Fast business.
At Grainger, we know what business you're in.
The more our customers grow, the more we grow business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A restaurant here, a spa there. Groupons are hot sellers, but some say they failed to generate return business for their vendors. Now Groupon is trying to address that. Chicago Tribune reports it's creating a customer loyalty program in which return customers earn personal Groupons. It starts in Philadelphia next month, rest of the nation soon after. Smaller crossover SUVs are not only hot sellers right now and better at conserving fuel than their hulkier full-size predecessors, they're also less deadly. Fresh research from the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety finds a 63% drop in crash fatalities when car drivers are hit by smaller, newer designed SUVs than by older, higher, much heavier ones. The global stock rallies of the past 2 days are gone, but investors are hinting that gains, though smaller, may still be possible to finish out the week. Japan's Nikkei finished near break-even. European markets have bounced from losses to small gains. S&P futures are up 11 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
You hear that? That's the sound of 68 million shopping carts being filled, 275,000 homes being built. Yep, that's the sound of a CSX train doing its part to move the economy forward. Sounds pretty good. CSX trains are the most efficient way to bring goods to market. See how at CSX.com. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
When I travel, I use WebEx for face-to-face meetings with clients online. We share documents and presentations, and they know, even though I'm not in the office, I'm always available to them. WebEx is awesome.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others. Anytime, anywhere. On their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WebEx.com.
Newman!
Yes, Mr. Fernwell?
I've got an important job for you. Bob from Account Temps is on his way.
Bob?
Make sure he has an office, a laptop, some of those little yellow sticky notes.
Bob from Account Temps?
Yes, they always have highly skilled temporaries. Why, we may hire him full-time.
Full-time?
That'll free us up to go after new business, do more for our current clients.
Surf the Internet!
Pardon?
Is that out loud?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
My cousin Louise owns a small accounting firm. She's all about the numbers. She wanted to give her business a boost, so she signed up for Constant Contact. Constant Contact combines the power of email marketing and social media. Now when she emails messages to her customers, they share it with their friends. And Louise gets more new business calls than she can count. Well, actually she can, because she's an accountant.
Try a whole new way to do word of mouth at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact plans are as low as $15 a month, and now come with a money-back guarantee.
They call us a mob.
To try to divide us.
They tell us prosperity should start at the top and to wait for it to trickle down.
More like piddle down.
They refuse to compromise for the good of the country.
When you're right, you don't have to compromise. Compromise is for people that are wrong.
Instead, caring more about the politics of politics.
I don't know why he believes that it's going to be any easier for Republicans than Democrats to make these tough decisions.
They think we have no choice but to sit back and take it.
Think again.
No more. This is First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
And good morning, everybody. Hour two of this Wednesday program, and we've got a great hour planned for you. I want to remind you, at the bottom of the hour in studio, Steve Dibert will be with us. We're going to be talking the foreclosure mess, the ongoing foreclosure mess. He's got an update for us, a pretty astounding update for us as well. But in this half hour, as many of you will recall, a couple weeks back, I was the moderator of a City of Livonia debate, with a citywide debate for city council, mayor, school board, and ran into an old friend of mine, Wayne County Circuit Court Judge Mark Slavens. And Mark and I originally met back in 2006 when he was a candidate for the state Senate. If his last name sounds familiar, his wife is State Representative Diane Slavens, who was a guest on this show, I don't know, about 6 weeks ago or so. As we were talking, Judge Slavens was telling me about a mentoring program that he is keenly involved in. And he works in the family division, the juvenile division of the Wayne County Circuit Court. Knowing Judge Slavens the way I do, he is committed not to just justice, which is, of course, the centerpiece of what he does, but of reform and making sure that opportunities are available to those that want them. So he had said, hey, would you mind if I came in and talked a little bit about what's happening here in Wayne County, some of the good things that are happening in Wayne County? I'm always up for that. So let me welcome to the program now my friend Mark Slavens. Your Honor, it's a pleasure to have you on the show this morning.
Well, good morning, Tony. It's always great to speak with you. You've got a great show.
Well, thank you. I do appreciate that. You know, I got to tell you, Judge Slavens, as I was taking a look at this mentoring program, you know, often, you know, we hear nothing but the bad news that comes out of especially the juvenile division. You know, there are all these troubled youth, and it's trouble this, and it's, you know, every time you turn around, it's a failure here, a failure there. But we're not talking just failures. I would imagine you're seeing your fair share of success as you've worked your way into this judgeship and some of the families that you're working with. There is some success there, is there not?
There is success. And one thing people have to remember about the children that I see is 50% of the kids that I see are abused and neglected. So they've never done one thing wrong to someone. The only thing they've done is had poor parents. So people have to remember that when they think about children in the juvenile court. Now, the other 50% are delinquency cases, and there's a lot of factors for that. But remember that 50% of these kids are abused and neglected, and they've never done anything except have poor parents.
Well, and not only that, I would think that Judge Slavin's, not only do they have poor parents, they probably have poor opportunities. I mean, I'm going to guess many of them are truants. I don't know that to be a fact, but I will assume that. I will assume that, again, there's just not positive opportunities for them, and I would think part of the reason for this mentorship program.
Well, and let me just share a story. What really got me going with the mentoring, other than seeing the children day in and day out that I see, is I went to a seminar, and I heard a young lady speak who had been in the New York foster care system, and she had been in there from day one of her life till her 19th birthday when she aged out, and the state said, okay, you're old enough to go take care of yourself now. Her mom was on crack. Her dad was in prison. And what she said that day, I hope will affect your viewers like it affected me. She said she never spent a Thanksgiving with anyone who loved her. She never spent a Christmas with anyone who loved her. She graduated from a mega high school, and as she walked down the aisle, no one cheered for her. And she said, if she's ever fortunate enough to marry, there'll be no one to give her away. I said, I got to do something. So I've been reaching out to people. I've been going to churches, synagogues, temples, civic groups, unions, business, and asking people to mentor. And that's what I'm asking your viewers today, is to consider mentoring these children.
Well, tell us a little bit about this VIP mentoring program that you are involved in.
Okay. What happens is if one of your viewers is interested in becoming a mentor, first of all, everybody thinks, oh, I can't do it. I'm not a social worker. I'm not a trained teacher. Throw that out. What you need to be is, do you have good parenting skills, and do you know the difference between right and wrong? Because these kids' needs are so basic. These are children who just need somebody to read to them, who need somebody to talk to them, who need somebody to play a game with them, to play sports with them. It's just the basic stuff you do with your children day in and day out, and they don't have that in their lives. They don't know when you go to meet somebody and talk to them, you look them in the eye. They don't know that you shake somebody's hand firmly. They just need that basic type of skill set. So if your viewers are interested, what would happen is the agency would check and make sure that they have no criminal history, no history of child abuse and child neglect. Then you'd go through a short training period. Then when I assign the children to have mentors, the agency will contact the people based on the child being in your zip code, which a lot of people like, because a lot of people don't want to go real far. Now, if you want to say, I want to do all of Wayne County, that's great. You know, you're not confined to your own zip code, but there is a number of people kind of like that feature. The other good thing is you can say, I want to do this age child. I don't feel comfortable. Because it's basically, it's children from age 0 to 18. And you can say, I want this age child, a male or a female. I want child that's abused or neglected children, or I want delinquency, whatever it is. So as a volunteer, you obviously have some rights. The only thing I would ask is that if you are going to do it, that you stick with it. You're going to break these children's hearts if you start and then all of a sudden just kind of fade away. They don't need that again in their life.
Yeah, Mark, let's talk about that for a moment, because I think one of the questions naturally people are going to have is, you know, I don't really know how much time I would have to give to this. So let's talk about that, because I think, Mark, that ultimately that would be one of the deciding, I would think the chief deciding factor on whether or not somebody wants to be a mentor. Are we talking about something that's an hour a week, 10 hours a week? What are we talking about here?
You're talking about, I would think, at a minimum an hour a week. And beyond that, the sky's the limit. That's up to you. But I would think you would need to set aside at least an hour a week. So, and the need in this area is so great. In Wayne County right now, Wayne County Juvenile Court, and there's 8 judges and 14 referees, we're handling 40% of all of the abuse and neglect cases for the whole state of Michigan. 40 to 50% of all those cases. We're also handling 40 to 50% of all the juvenile delinquency cases throughout the state of Michigan is in Wayne County. So we have a great need for people to help these children.
Well, there's no question that's true. I guess, you know, one of the questions certainly that comes to mind, Mark Slavens, is when you get involved in a child's life like this, let's just say it's like 1 or 2 hours a week. Let's keep it real simple for folks.
Okay.
What kind of impact does that have on them, and how long before they start to feel a sense of, you know, maybe belonging or worth? I mean, is this something that takes months before you see some kind of progress, or do you normally see it pretty quickly?
It is phenomenally quickly. And let me just give you a story to show you how needy these children are. What happens in my courtroom when I see a child is I will have them, I have them come to court, and then I have them come in the back and talk with me, and I have all the attorneys come back there and the deputy, and I talk with the child and I ask them, you know, I want to make sure they're safe when they're in foster care, because, you know, you hear some horrible stories about things. And I always say, this is your safe zone. Tell me how things are going. I talk with them. I give them a little candy. I give them a book, just to kind of feel like somebody cares about them. There was a young lady who I had seen 3 times for 10 minutes apiece. And I get a report right before her hearing, and I'm reading through it. Now, this young lady has seen me for 10 minutes, 3 times. And she, in the report, I'm reading through, and it says, all I want in the world is for Judge Slavens to adopt me.
Aw. Wow, that just broke my heart, Mark.
So, Tony, these kids really need that attention. And yes, they will bond with you very quickly.
All right, so if people want to be mentors, how do they go about doing this? Where can I send them?
Well, I'd prefer that they call my office, so can I give my phone number?
Absolutely, of course.
Okay, if they can call Judge Mark Slavens, it's spelled S-L-A-V-E-N-S, and my phone number is 313-833-1776.
All right, 313-833-1776. Just tell them that you're interested in the mentoring program. That's all you have to remember, folks.
You're right.
And they'll take care of it from there. Judge Slavens, I want to thank you for sharing this. We'll certainly get this information up on our Facebook page. I'll post it to the website later on today as well, and we're gonna continue. If you don't mind, maybe we can partner with you on recruiting some mentors. Let's do this more than once.
Okay.
All right, Mark. It's great to talk to you. It was great to see you a couple weeks ago, and let's hope that we've been able to get the phone ringing a little bit this morning in your office. Get some more mentors in there. Thanks for your time this morning.
Okay. Well, thank you, Tony. You got a great show.
As always, Mark. My pleasure. No question. Let's take a quick break here. We'll come back and talk more about this mentoring program, because I think it's critical we get engaged in this. This is 1310 WDTW. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, are you a flake?
Well, I think that would be insulting.
But do you understand when I say that's what the rap on you is?
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at some delays out there on 75 southbound between 12 miles down to 8 miles, 696 westbound between Cousins and 75. That's a little bit backed up as well. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, cloudy, occasional showers, a high near 65. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 49, with a slight chance of showers in there as well. The showers will linger, just a slight chance tomorrow. Partly sunny, a high near 65. Right now, there's a few clouds, and it's 57 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
For a limited time, you can add the OnStar FMV mirror to your car for only $199. It's like having a portable nav, a roadside assistance plan, Bluetooth, and a stolen vehicle system, plus automatic help in a crash. And it's compatible with most cars. Add OnStar FMV to your car at Best Buy for only $199 MSRP after instant rebate.
tax, installation, and OnStar subscription extra. Visit OnStar.com for availability, limitations, details, and more retailers. Hurry, offer ends October 31st, 2011.
I'm sure you're thinking, boy, I'd like to pay less for my car insurance, but switching seems like a lot of work. All the hassle and whatnot. Well, I'm here to tell you that is simply not the case. GEICO makes it so easy to switch and start saving money straight away, without getting buried in a ton of paperwork. You know, that actually happened to me once, literally. I was buried under my income taxes for 6 days. Haunting, really.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Recently on First Shift,
the leader of the Michigan AFL, my good friend Mark Gaffney. Some of these folks, good, hardworking union men and women, now qualify for food stamps. Where'd we go wrong?
That's ridiculous, isn't it? So that taxpayers have been put into the position of having their hearts made cold and hard by saying those workers that we hire in our city to provide services, keep us safe, keep our streets clean, pick up the trash, we're going to keep in poverty.
First Shift with Tony Trujillo. On 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour. I really want to just very quickly go back and talk about Judge Mark Slavin's mentoring program. Folks, if you know, we spend so much time on the show talking politics and divisiveness and anger and justifiably so. I'm not saying that there isn't, justifiable reasons for that, but we need to be mindful that in spite of all the challenges that we have, that there are, you know, other parts of society that needs us. Certainly children, especially after the assault on education, which can't be making this job any easier for teachers. We know that there are too many parents, unfortunately, that don't spend the proper amount of time, if at any time, with their children at all. We do know that in a difficult economy, especially an extended difficult economy, families are challenged in ways that they maybe normally wouldn't be. And we do need people to step up and to step into the lives of these young people. Whether that's a newborn, you know, holding a newborn is critical. I'm sure you all know that. An angry teenager needs direction, tough love, whatever. You can be a mentor if you have literally as little as 1 hour a week. He tells that beautiful story just literally in 3 10-minute sessions. A young lady who has just never given attention wants to be adopted by Judge Slavens because she was given three 10-minute sessions with him. He starts the interview talking about a 19-year-old woman who has, you know, is concerned that she's never been loved. This is wrong. No one in society should feel that way. If you can, if you know somebody that can or would consider being a mentor, please call Judge Slavin's office. Please do that. 313-833-1776. 313-833-1776. And I'm telling you, folks, people need to step up and do this. They truly do. We will have Judge Slavens back on the show, and we will continue to follow up with this. But listen, if nothing else, call and get the information. 313-833-1776. All right, Jeff. I can't believe that I'm about to share this with you, pal. But and I'm not going to say the name. And if I had more time, I would respond. But and via email. But we were talking about Sarah Palin in the last hour, how whacked out this woman is. And, you know, she doesn't make any sense. She's not the brightest bulb on the tree. You know, she's not stupid, but, you know, she's not wise. I think somebody came up, Jeff, with the word she's not wise. I got an email from somebody that said, well, I don't even know if I want to do this, said that if you take the name Sarah Palin and insert Barack Obama, it's basically the same conversation.
Which is kind of weird.
And it's beyond weird.
Because you did mention a lot of people would like to bag Sarah Palin. Well, I guess that fits, but it would be for the other gender.
Yeah, I think women find the president attractive. Don't you remember before he actually, after his election, he took a little vacation to Hawaii, and they had that picture of him shirtless, and there was the whole scandal whether or not you should see your president without a shirt on.
I just know the gender of who sent you the email, so it would be weird if that person,
yeah, well,
did make that switch.
Right. I mean, come on. I understand that you want to protect your conservative roots. I get that, but we're not talking. This is not apples to apples. You can't compare Barack Obama to Sarah Palin. They're not even close to being the same intellect level. They're not even close.
I think you can compare Palin to Bachman, obviously, but then, of course, you know, the two genders are the same, so you can see a lot of similarities. You can even compare Palin to Perry, I would say.
Yeah, no, I think that there's some truth to that. I think Sarah Palin has gotten better at dialoguing since she was a vice presidential candidate, you know, and I don't know that, you know, her candidacy as a vice president, what made a difference. I don't think it cost them the election, but I don't think it got them anything. John McCain just wasn't a strong enough candidate. You know, I guess I do need to remind some people that Barack Obama was elected and received more votes than anybody in the history of the presidency. Anybody in the history of the presidency. I think that says something about the way the American people view the president of the United States.
And thinking about the comparison, you know, Sarah Palin, Barack Obama, in this interview, Sarah also mentioned that Barack Obama really wasn't ready to be president and wasn't vetted by the media. And I'm thinking, how crazy is this that she's saying that about him? I mean, she proved she wasn't ready even right then at the time to be vice president.
She wasn't ready to be governor of Alaska. She couldn't handle that job. She had to quit.
Yeah. That to me was just that was funny. So again, you know, just thinking about the comparison between the two, there's no way you can just interchange their names.
No, you can't. So appreciate it. And again, for all intents and purposes, we'll just keep the identity of the emailer anonymous for now. Just kind of blows my mind. It really did kind of blow my mind. I don't know, Radford. You should consider being a mentor. You don't even have an hour a week, do you?
I need a mentor.
I'm your tour mentor.
There you go. That works. You know what was weird about, not weird, it was unique about hearing Judge Slavin's talk was I've watched the Discovery Channel, and you know how they do the scared straight ones?
Yes.
The way he looks at it is, you know, taking more of a caring view. Like, these kids just didn't have anyone growing up, and they actually need someone to feel like they've been cared for, whereas on that program, and I thought about, cracking the mic and asking him, but on that program, they don't have a great relationship with their parents, and instead of, you know, showing the caring way, they take them to prison and just try and scare the crap out of these kids and, you know, They have them hang out with inmates and view the, you know, get to see the world in a completely negative light. And it's just two different schools of thought of how you get somebody on the right path.
Well, you know, first of all, it's not like Mark Stevens and I are the best of friends. I got to know him pretty well when he ran for the Senate in 2006. He is an amazingly compassionate human being. He cares deeply. I mean, he's a great father. He's a great husband. I mean, he's a great man. I mean, this is a great man. And I would venture to guess, without knowing this to be true for sure, that he's the kind of guy that emotionally brings work home with him, if you know what I mean by that. I think that this stuff affects him in a very personal way. And so, you know, he's incredibly compassionate and wants to see, you know, the best in everybody. He wants to see the best in people and certainly sees an opportunity. And he's on the front lines of it, Jeff. So he sees the difference that this mentorship program makes. And he knows that if he can expand it, if he can just find a few more people, you know, whether that's one this morning or 10 or whatever it might be, you know, that he's helped one more child. I mean, that's the way he thinks. He's really quite a gifted guy. Steve Deibert will be with us in the next half hour in studio as we kind of update, and we got a lot to do in the next half hour. This whole foreclosure mess and what's going on and notary fraud and man, oh man, oh man! Thank God for Steve, because this stuff is just moving at a breakneck pace. It truly is. A quick break here. We'll come back on the other side of this. Feel free to join us, especially if you have any questions regarding your own mortgage, that of a friend or a neighbor, a family member. We can get to it. 888-552-3595. We'll be back.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at an accident, 696 westbound at DeQuinder. It's on the shoulder, but it's causing some delays back about a mile. 75 southbound between Rochester Road down through 8 Mile. We're looking at some stop-and-go traffic there. 275 northbound between Ann Arbor Road and the 96 M14 interchange. The disabled vehicle is gone, but we're looking at delays anyway. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, occasional showers. It'll be cloudy, a high in the mid-60s. Tonight, still a chance for showers, mostly cloudy, a low in the upper 40s. And then tomorrow, partly sunny, a high right around 65. Slight chance for a shower in there, too. Right now, there's a few clouds and it's 57 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift going up after this.
You're listening to Win. Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Postal workers and supporters are rallying to save the U.S. Postal Service. Jesse Russell reports.
The men and women of the United States Postal Service held rallies in every congressional district in the country yesterday. Their goal was to deliver a message to Congress about how to proceed regarding the Postal Service's financial crisis. The workers see the crisis as being caused in part by a 2006 congressional mandate that requires the Postal Service to pre-fund future retiree health benefits for the next 75 years. They have a decade to achieve this goal, requiring payments of $5.5 billion per year. The postal workers want Congress to pass a bill that would allow the Postal Service to pay for their operating budget out of the money they've overpaid into retiree health care. There are a number of bills being floated in Congress, and few actually include a provision that would loosen the 2006 mandate. Instead, they tend to rely on laying off hundreds of thousands of workers, ending mail service on Saturdays, and shuttering nearly 500 mail processing facilities.
Since September 17th, protesters have occupied Wall Street, delivering a message that we are the 99% and will no longer tolerate the greed and corruption of the 1%. Occupy Wall Street describes itself as a leaderless and diverse resistance movement active in the occupation of Wall Street. They and other groups like the NYC General Assembly and U.S. Days of Rage are helping to organize the occupation. They're setting up beds, kitchens, and peaceful barricades and say they're using Arab Spring tactics to restore democracy in America. Here are the voices of some of the 99% who are occupying Wall Street.
I'm Camille Raneem. I'm from New York. Occupy Wall Street is about taking back my community and reestablishing what it is to have a true home on this planet.
My name is Marina Citrin, and I live in Brooklyn, New York. And what this is about for me most is exercising our long-sleeping democracy muscle.
Well, my name's Ashley, and I'm from Canton, Ohio. I got here on a bus yesterday. I make, like, maybe $50 a week. I live on nothing, and I just hate that money and greed and corruption is pretty much making our laws and running the country. And that's why I'm here. I don't like it, and I want it to stop.
My name is Miriam. I live in New York. And I'm here because I want this to be a country where the government takes care of people who need help and takes care of all of its people rather than taking care of the richest people and the corporations.
This newscast made possible in part by Ulico, the Union Labor Life Insurance Company. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Tony is back and wants to talk with you. Give him a call at 1-888-552-3595.
And welcome back, 35 minutes after the hour. This is 1310 WDTW, First Shift. And as promised before the break, joining me now is Steve Diebert. Steve is the founder of MFI Miami. And well, I always feel like we got to explain the name, Steve.
Okay.
Because, you know, I don't think people make the connection right away, which is fine. I mean, it's great. First of all, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Some months ago. A lot has happened since you were last on. And part of me wants to say, why is this continuing to happen? But we'll get to that. Explain the name of the company and what it is you do.
Okay. Well, MFI Miami is basically a mortgage fraud investigation company. And what we do is we help homeowners and their attorneys fight the banks. Either for if you're trying to get a loan modification or, you know, trying to defend your home against an illegal foreclosure, which seems to be happening a lot in the Detroit area.
Yeah.
So that's what we do is we look at everything from the original your original loan application to who owns your loan right now on Wall Street. You know, is it owned by some mortgage-backed security, some hedge fund? Who owns it? Do they have the proper authority to foreclose on you? You know, things to that nature.
And that really is the question, is do they have the proper authority to foreclose on you? I think the majority of would say, well, of course, we had a closing, I signed documents, of course they have a right to foreclose on me, but that's where it gets a little murky.
Yeah, it gets really murky because what happened was these mortgages were then sold off, put into mortgage pools, and then they were then they were sold on Wall Street to different investment houses and stuff. You know, to simplify it, that's essentially what happened.
Right.
And then they were putting things called a trust, bonds were sold against this trust based on the performance of your loan and the loans in the pool.
All right. So, you know, although we went through this, it's been a while since we had you on, and we went through this before, but I think it bears repeating. And I do want to encourage people, if they're either in the process of going through a foreclosure, they're on the verge of foreclosure, Steve can answer some questions for you this morning. So give us a call, 888-552-3595. If I'm in foreclosure and or I'm being threatened with foreclosure, how can I tell if there may be a problem? I mean, that's going to be the number one question. You know, where do I look first, Steve?
Okay. Well, the first sign is if you call your lender and your lender tells you to quit making payments, they can't help you unless you quit making your payments.
Yeah.
That's a lie. That is the first warning sign that there is a problem with the securitization of your loan, of something that went on Wall Street. Okay? Because if they're telling you to quit making your payments, that tells me that your loan was insured and that mortgage pool was insured. So the bond investors and everybody were already taken care of. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to cash in on the insurance policy.
Okay.
And then when they cash in on the insurance policy, what happens is it's kind of like when you total your car. You know the insurance company pays off your finance company, and then they come to you and say, hey, Tony, you can buy the car back for the salvage rights. And that same thing kind of happens on Wall Street. What they do is they go back to the mortgage servicer and say, okay, tell you what, we'll we'll sell you the loans in this pool for 5 cents on the dollar. That's why these companies can get away with selling these homes at ridiculously rock bottom prices.
You know, somebody had sent me an email, and because I announced yesterday that we were going to have you on the show,
right.
And somebody had sent me an email and said they're in the middle of a loan modification.
Mm-hmm.
They were, they were in bankruptcy. Of course, you can't sell a home when you're in bankruptcy. The
no.
bank can't sell your home when
correct.
You're in bankruptcy. And they're in the middle of a loan modification, but they have not heard anything in months.
Mm-hmm.
The bank stopped sending them their payment coupon on time. They get them, but they get them 10 or 12 days late.
Right.
They're very confused. They're staying current. They told me they were 4 months behind, but they're making their monthly payment waiting on this modification
mm-hmm.
that never seems to come through
Right.
What can we tell them that and this person is very concerned?
Okay. First of all, I'm not a lawyer. So what I'm going to tell you is not legal advice. But what's happening is your mortgage servicer, albeit one of the major banks, is basically ripping off that hedge fund that owns or that trust that your loan is in. Because what they're doing is they're essentially jacking up the what you owe on your principal and on your balance and passing it off and with all these crazy bogus fees and passing that cost on to the investors in the pool. So what they're doing is they're basically, not only are they jerking the homeowner around,
right.
they're ripping off the shareholders.
Wow. So is this legal?
Yes.
that's fine. I mean,
the problem with the lending industry right now is they still have the old Andrew Mozilla attitude, who used to be the chairman of Countrywide Financial. And his attitude was, it's only illegal until a judge tells us it is.
Okay.
And that's been the mantra for the lending industry for the past 15 years.
All right. Well, now we get into a situation with the economy where things start going bad,
mm-hmm.
especially in Southeast Michigan, although it's happened all over the country. In Southeast
right.
Michigan, we've had more than our fair share. I'm sure in Nevada, they're having similar issues, lots of foreclosures there. It gets all of a sudden the economy gets worse. People get behind. I would think it's easier for corruption to take place because there's such a huge volume of papers being moved now.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
What can we do to protect ourselves a little bit?
Stand up and fight.
Okay.
It's that simple. There's strength in numbers. There's more of us than there are of them. And there's a number of ways you can do it. You know, you can stand up and start asking questions to your mortgage servicer.
Like what? What kind of questions? Let's be specific.
Number one, you have a right to know who owns your mortgage. They have to tell you who owns it. Albeit, you know, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, you know, New York or Bank of New York Mellon, or some asset-backed security, you know, whoever.
Okay.
You have the right as a homeowner to know who actually owns your mortgage.
So even if you send your check to, let's say, Bank of America, they may not own that
correct.
Mortgage.
Correct. Right. Yeah, they may be servicing it for someone else.
Gotcha.
So like, for example, you may be sending your check to Bank of America, but they're servicing it for a trust that's managed by Wells
gotcha.
Fargo.
All right. So that's one of the questions you can ask. Who actually owns my
correct.
Mortgage? Okay.
Yeah. You know, if you start seeing irregularities, your payment starts increasing, all of a sudden you're being charged for escrows that you didn't have before, start questioning it and stand up and fight it. You know, don't be afraid to stand up to your bank.
Is this what you do for folks? If I were to call you and say, Steve, I'm lost. I don't know what's going on. You know, is this where you can come
right,
in and help?
Yeah, and that's how I come in and help because I research all this. And then what I do is then I refer you to our, 20 or 30 attorneys that we have on our list.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, that's fascinating. Now, you had sent me, and we're going to come back to this, you had sent me an email last week. The headline is, and it's actually at your website.
Uh-huh.
And the headline is, Interstate Notary Fraud Uncovered at Detroit Foreclosure Mill. Foreclosure Mill jumped off the screen at me. Just jumped off the screen at me. So what the hell is this all about and what's going on?
Okay. Well, basically, so for your listeners that don't know what a foreclosure mill is, What a foreclosure mail is basically a law firm. These big law firms, they handle these big
like Trot and Trot or Orleans.
Trot, Orleans, and other like Stephen Baum in New York, David Stern down in Florida. And what they've done is they've created an assembly line process to handle these foreclosures. So what happens is one person handles paper one, the first page of a document. Second person handles second page and so forth down the line. So then what you do is what they've done is save time is they've had employees sign signatures of attorneys and then have somebody else notarize it when the attorney's not in the room.
And that's illegal.
And that's illegal.
So that is illegal.
Well, okay. Now what they're doing, what we've discovered they're doing, and we discovered this a couple of months ago here in Michigan, is that they're having someone else sign for the notary, which is definitely illegal, or the signatures don't match. The signature of the notary does not match what's on file with Lansing.
For the notary.
For the notary. Now, what we discovered a couple weeks ago is Orleans is filing these bogus documents with these bogus signatures in Massachusetts.
So they're spreading their wings, if you will.
Well, yeah. Orleans covers foreclosures in 5 states.
Okay.
So, no matter what, and, it's like last time I was on, we were talking about robo-signing.
Right.
And what robo-signing is exactly what we just described. And one attorney over at Orleans, in particular, his name's Marshall Isaacs. His signature is on thousands of documents, but he's got 30 different variations of a signature out there. And none of them match the mortgage to his house.
Huh. Well, here's the confusion for me. And I think for a lot of people, if this is going on, and now it's still going on, they know they're being watched. I mean, this is not a news story, and it's not a local story. I mean, this is made national news.
Right.
They know they're being watched. Why would they continue to break the law knowing that they're going to get caught? Are they kind of,
They don't care. They don't care because they know they're not going to get punished.
Ah, well, we're going to stop there and take a break.
Okay.
That's the key to it. They're not going to get punished.
Right.
Wow, that seems to be wrong. All right, 888-552-3595. Steve Dibert is my guest. MFI-Miami.com is the website that you want to go to. Let's take a very quick break here. We got a lot more to get to on the other side. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trujillo.
Malia and Sasha finish their homework a day ahead of time. Malia's 13, Sasha's 10. They don't wait until the night before. They're not pulling all-nighters. If you know you've got to do something, just do it.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Recently on First Shift,
Steve Cooper with the We Party Patriots. How important do you think social media is to organize labor today?
Incredibly important. I think you're seeing galvanized movements globally, and it's taking hold, obviously, in the States as well. The thing with social media is that it has to be a necessary component because you know that the next guy is doing it, and if he's not yet doing it, he's going to be doing it, so you want to make sure you beat him to that punch.
So that hashtag #OneU, when I put that at the end of a tweet, what does that do with regard to getting my message out to more people?
Well, the hashtags, they essentially act as a kind of filing cabinet within Twitter. You can now follow a sort of stream of union consciousness, and the key to that happening is everybody knowing where to gather, essentially where to meet and talk about this. We're trying to provide that sort of unique voice to get more and more people involved.
First Shift with Tony Trivino
on 1310 WDTW.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW. CW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us, love us.
At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. And now, back to work with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
All right, welcome back, folks. We're going to try to get as much in as we can before the top of the hour. Steve Divert, my guest, MFI Miami. We were saying before the break, Steve, that you said, and which stunned me, that even if they get caught, there's no punishment. I mean, this just, if they're breaking the law and people are losing their homes as a result of this, and there's no punishment? Why? I mean, this is just wrong.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is. And there's two factors that are involved here. One, you know, the whole issue of money buys influence, because you have a situation where, where Linda Orlins and David Trott give substantially to the Michigan Republican Party. They give money to Bill Schuette. They give money to Ruth Johnson. They give money to guys like Marty Nolenberg, who's the chair of the House Banking Committee, and they know that, you know, these guys aren't going to come after them because, you know, they have money. And
isn't that just unfair to the consumer? I mean, horribly unfair to the consumer?
Oh, it is. Well, I get criticized because I criticize both Democrats and Republicans, and, you know, I am an active Democrat, or I used to be, here in Michigan before I moved to Florida. And I left the party and I left politics because I didn't want to whore myself out. I didn't want to take all this dirty money from people like Linda Orlins. I just didn't want to do it. But the problem is that they're going to listen to people like, more to people like Linda Orlins, who are in their face giving them money, and
sure,
they can hire lobbyists to come by and buy them lunch every day, than they are, you know, Tony Trupiano, who's losing his house and, you know, wants to talk to Representative, you know, Bob Smith or Tom
right.
Jones. And so what happens is you get lost in the shuffle because you don't have that influence.
All right. Now, is this happening? I mean, you mentioned Massachusetts. They don't have Republicans at every layer of government. Is there some hope that maybe another state will stop this from happening and maybe there will be a spillover effect for Michigan?
Right. Right now, Martha Coakley, who's a Democrat in Massachusetts.
Attorney General.
Phenomenal woman. I've met her before. Phenomenal woman. It was, I was sad when she lost against Scott Brown. When she ran for the U.S. Senate
right.
after Ted Kennedy passed, she has an active investigation going against Orlins right now in Massachusetts and against one Orlins partner, Julie Moran, in Massachusetts.
And Orlins is a Michigan-based company?
They're a Michigan-based company. All their paperwork is done here. Even for Orlins and Moran in Boston, all the paperwork is done in Troy.
Okay. So there is hope that perhaps if Martha Coakley, the Attorney General of Massachusetts, finds some impropriety here that
because of it being interstate, Martha Coakley is going to have to get the feds involved.
Right, she'll have to refer it.
Yeah, she'll have to refer it to the U.S. Attorney's Office, which more than likely will happen.
If I again, and we'll just keep it simple.
Well, hold on one second before we get into another subject. In all fairness, Bill Schuette does have an investigation open against Linda Orleans right now.
Okay, but an open investigation and an active investigation are two very different things.
Exactly.
So it's an open investigation, not necessarily active.
Correct.
Okay. That's fine. And I'm not actually going to change topics, and I'm not going to get into specifics.
Okay.
I'm a homeowner. I'm in foreclosure. I have reason to believe that my documents are bogus documents. There's no relief for me. I go to a lawyer. Can a lawyer do something for me? Can they stop this foolishness?
Yeah, I say can, actually.
Oh, okay.
The attorneys I work with and I, we have basically... until I came along about a year ago, nobody in Michigan were fighting their foreclosures until I started making a lot of noise about it here. And now what's happened is, the banks are listening to people like me, listening to guys like Bill Maxwell, who's one of the attorneys I work with, Dan Marsh, and other attorneys that I work with who are fighting these banks and are winning. We are actually winning cases against the banks. And we're actually getting the judges to listen to us. And the reason why is because I won't shut my mouth.
Well, listen, I love your passion. No, I do. You don't shut your mouth, and I mean that in the best possible way.
Yeah.
You're not afraid to say the truth, because it's the truth. That's right. The difference. You're in a great example of what this show stands for, Steve. Because when you speak the truth, you don't have to fear it.
Mm-hmm. And the truth is an undeniable defense.
Right. Well, that doesn't mean everybody has the courage to speak it. You happen to have the courage to speak it. I mean, there's a
everybody has it within themselves. You just got to stand up.
Well, not everybody can stand up. I mean, not everybody has the strength to do that. You have the strength. I'm trying to give you a compliment here, Steve. Take the damn compliment. I just think it's amazing that especially these people are suffering. They're thinking they're going to lose everything. I mean, for a lot of people, the only asset they have at this point is their home. And they think they're going to lose it, and they think that there's no recourse, and there is.
There is.
I mean, that's the good news. Is there? And I don't know what attorneys...
I have clients who began fighting their foreclosures before, that I've worked with. One of my very first clients before I formed MFI Miami, she's been in her house for 5.5 years and has not made a mortgage payment in 5.5 years because she had the courage to take on Bank of America and, and another investor. I have another woman another client down in Florida, who has been in his house for 3 years fighting Deutsche Bank.
Hmm.
So, I always tell my clients, the longer it drags out, the more benefit it is to you, because eventually they're going to settle with you.
I know you're not a lawyer, and I want to say that again up front. I want to be very clear about that, and maybe you don't want to give this advice, but... in the situation I gave you earlier where the people are they're in bankruptcy, they're in, potentially in foreclosure, they're not getting their payment on time. Should they stop paying their mortgage?
No, I tell my clients always, if you can make your payment, make your payment. And the reason why is it's one less excuse the bank has not to come after you.
Gotcha. Okay, no, that's good advice.
Their main complaint is usually, their big argument with the judges, and it makes sense, is look, the homeowner broke the contract because they didn't make the mortgage payment. So we have every right to come after you. Well, now you're eliminating them from making that argument, and they don't know what to do.
Right, and we also need to make the point, I want to make sure we do this very quickly because we got to take a quick call, that not every mortgage is a bad mortgage. Mortgage has bogus documents.
No.
So let's be careful that we don't characterize them all that way.
Exactly.
All right. Now, very quickly, Amir in Detroit. Amir, we don't have much time. Go ahead, my friend.
No, real quick. What if someone's already in foreclosure and they have bogus documents, or the bank's already foreclosed on them and they're still in the home? Is there anything can be done for them?
That's a great question. Very quickly, we got 60 seconds left.
Yes, there is, actually. But unfortunately, we're running out of time, so you can feel free to call me on the phone number on my website, and I can discuss that with you off air.
Is that the toll-free number?
Yeah, the 888.
888-737-6344. 888-737-6344. MFI-Miami.com is the website. We'll get it up on Facebook. Steve, we're going to have you back soon. We're going to have you back more often than we have, obviously.
Yeah, that'd be great.
This just flew by. All right, we got to get to the break, folks. Top of the hour, Steve Henderson from the Detroit Free Press. We continue.
610 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Got a couple of accidents out there on 696 westbound. One after Hoover, it's on the shoulder. And just a little bit after that, we've got another one on the shoulder as well. So keep an eye out for both of those. Expect some slow traffic in the area. 275 northbound after Ford Road, we've had an accident there on the shoulder as well. I'll rush the traffic.
1310 WDTW. Motor City weather.
A rainy and cloudy forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, occasional showers, a high near 65, a chance of rain is 80%. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 49, but a slight chance for a shower in there as well. A slight chance for a shower will linger around tomorrow. Partly sunny, though, a high near 65. Right now, it's cloudy and 57 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after the top of the hour.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Todd from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Now time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Leading the news this hour, it should be another emotional day at the Conrad Murray manslaughter trial. People in court Tuesday got a shock when prosecutors played a recording of Michael Jackson slurring and almost incoherent. CNN's Don Lemon tells us what it was like.
When we sat down in that courtroom and they played, they dimmed the lights, played some videotape, and played that audio tape of Michael Jackson, it was heart-wrenching. And everyone just sort of looked at each other like, is that Michael Jackson?
A hearing in Tucson today will determine if Arizona shooting suspect Jared Loughner is competent to stand trial. He's accused of killing six people in a January shooting spree that wounded Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. The cost for employee family health insurance jumped 9% this year, and employers are paying most of it. CNN's Dr. Sanjay Gupta says health care reform may have some impact here.
When you talk about the health, the Affordable Care Act overall, starting next year, if there's ever an increase in premiums of over 10%, insurance companies will have to justify that increase. And some analysts say this is a bit of a proactive move. Let's increase the premiums more now so that we don't have to, you know, come underneath this increased scrutiny in the years to come.
Trust in the federal government is at an all-time low. A CNN ORC poll finds only 15% of Americans say they trust Washington that will do what's right just about always or most of the time. You could soon read a Kindle in color. Amazon's expected to unveil a tablet called Kindle Fire today. CNN.com tech writer John Suter says it'll offer much more than a traditional e-reader and may even compete with the Apple iPad.
It supposedly is going to run Android's operating system, which should be interesting. And the rumors have it that this will be out starting in November, so in time for the holiday season.
For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
I'm in the I need cordless cutting shears to finish this vent work business.
At Granger, we know what business you're in.
I'm in the if you can help my business, then you'll get my business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Granger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Instant messaging, instant coffee, instant hair removal. The world has gone instant. So why does it take so long for your hotel points to add up before you get any rewards? At America's Best Value Inn, there is no waiting. Sign up for our free value club at any of our 900 hotels in North America or at americasbestvalueinn.com and enjoy an instant 15% discount, room upgrade, and late checkout when available. We've got you covered with more value, more comfort, and instant rewards.
Many businesses who partner with Groupon are getting frustrated. Spikes in first-time traffic are tremendous thanks to the online coupons, but few Groupon customers become repeat customers willing to pay full price. Now Groupon is trying to solve that problem. Chicago Tribune reports that starting next month, Groupon will unveil a customer loyalty program rewarding loyal customers to business partners with more Groupons. It will begin in Philadelphia, then roll out nationwide soon after. The European Union's $150 billion agreement struck this week to rescue Greece is being questioned by some economists and now some EU members. That has influenced global stock trading. Japan's Nikkei finished near flat. In European trading, though, hope and nervousness are in a tug of war. Indexes started lower, but now are showing modest gains. Less modest are American gains. S&P futures rising 6 points, NASDAQ futures up 11, Dow futures up more than 60. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
You hear that? That's the sound of 68 million shopping carts being filled, 275,000 homes being built. Yep, that's the sound of a CSX train doing its part to move the economy forward. Sounds pretty good. CSX trains are the most efficient way to bring goods to market. See how at CSX.com. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
When I travel, I use WebEx for face-to-face meetings with clients online. We share documents and presentations, and they know, even though I'm not in the office, I'm always available to them. WebEx is awesome.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others. Anytime, anywhere. On their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WebEx.com.
I'm in the I need cordless cutting shears to finish this vent work business.
At Granger, we know what business you're in.
I'm in the if you can help my business, then you'll get my business business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Granger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Instant messaging, instant coffee, instant hair removal. The world has gone instant. So why does it take so long for your hotel points to add up before you get any rewards? At America's Best Value Inn, there is no waiting. Sign up for our free value club at any of our 900 hotels in North America or at americasbestvalueinn.com and enjoy an instant 15% discount, room upgrade, and late checkout when available. We've got you covered with more value, more comfort, and instant rewards.
Progressive. Favoring or advocating progress, change, improvement, or reform, as opposed to wishing to maintain things as they are. Conservative. Disposed to preserve existing conditions or institutions, or to restore traditional ones, and to limit change. First Shift with Tony Trubiano. A rational path to follow in order to forge ahead, allowing for deliberate advancement and a way forward that benefits the entirety of society while allowing a difference of opinion. Well, two out of three ain't bad. Now, here's Tony Trubiano.
And welcome back. Just after 8 o'clock on this Wednesday morning, and while that last half hour just blows your mind, you think about the amount of foreclosures happening nationally, certainly in the state of Michigan, Southeast Michigan, and there's so much misconduct that we need law enforcement to step up and protect us, and that clearly is not happening. We'll certainly have Steve Dybert back again in the very near future, dedicate a little more time to that issue. I want to remind you at 8:35 this hour, William Greider from The Nation will be with us. He is the keynote speaker at the Douglas Debs dinner in Dearborn on Saturday. We'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later on. But let us get to what we always do at this time every week. Go ahead, guys, give me my intro.
Joining us now, editor of the Detroit Free Press, Stephen Henderson.
And Stephen Henderson is with us once again on this Wednesday morning. Stephen, as always, a pleasure to have you with us.
Good to see you. To be talking to you too, Tony.
I appreciate it a great deal. You know, we're going to start with a story that I first learned about very early yesterday morning. And in fact, if people go to freep.com today, the headline that they're going to read says Detroit police officer on restricted duty after fists fly at casino. Of course, you folks had the videotape, and I'm sure it's still there at the Freep now, but you had it on the front page most of the day, Stephen. Yeah. I watched it repeatedly, and I got to tell you, of course, there's no sound, so I don't know what was being said. And we'll, in a minute here, set up supposedly what happened. But based on just the visual evidence, which is all I had, what does guy do wrong?
Yeah, it's sort of unclear. I mean, you watch the tape, and you do see that he seems agitated and that the police are asking him to leave the MGM casino, but it does seem like the punch from the police officer, at least when you just are looking at the video, and again, like you said, there's no sound with the video, so you can't hear what they're saying, and you're not seeing what happened before, right, when they got there and confronted this guy. But it does seem like it comes out of nowhere. I mean, it's stunning, and it's such a violent and powerful punch as opposed to, you know, an effort to sort of subdue the guy and apprehend him. It seems like, you know, it's just, it's almost like a boxing punch that the police officer throws. So it's just one of those jarring videos. And, you know, the reason that I think it probably was on the site all day yesterday was that people were really interested in that story, and I think just sort of horrified by the fact that it happened.
Well, you know, here, let's back up just a little bit, Stephen Henderson. What we know about the victim, if you will, is that earlier at the MGM Grand Detroit, he had apparently grabbed the buttocks of a waitress, a cocktail waitress. And that,
right,
of course, is inappropriate behavior. There's no question that's true. Now, I don't know, and it's not clear. I've read all I can find on it. I don't know why that internally security wasn't able to handle it. I know that this gentleman was asked to leave and did not.
Right.
At that
right.
point, the Detroit police were called, and two officers came. And we're not going to use names here because it's irrelevant for our conversation, Stephen. But two officers arrived, and then we know what we know. We know what we saw. But there wasn't
right.
just a punch. There were, at one point, they had led him away. And while he was handcuffed, there were two more very brutal
yes.
punches thrown at him.
Yes, yes. I mean, according to the victim in his suit, I mean, those two punches while he's on the ground actually broke ribs. So I mean, you're right. These were very violent blows. And again, it's the question of you know, the question is always whether that kind of force can be justified given the situation. I mean, we authorize police to use deadly force if they have to, right? That's their job. But, I mean, I think people get concerned, and rightly so, when it seems that police use excessive force against civilians when those civilians aren't posing a threat. And that's really the question, right? Was this guy posing a physical threat either to the officers or to other people in the casino? And it's very hard to tell from that video. It's very hard to say from that video that he was. But then that's always tricky, right? Looking at a video,
it is and it isn't. I mean, let's pretend we can turn the volume up on that video.
Right.
They have him handcuffed at one point. So any perceived threat, at least physically, is almost eliminated. Not that he couldn't run off, because he could have, but we're watching now this videotape where we see him under control. In fact, it almost looks like he's voluntarily walking away, and at least to me, that's what it looks like. So let's pretend for a moment, Stephen, we can turn that volume way up, and we can hear it crystal clear. There isn't anything this man can't yell or could yell, say, or, you know, at this point, say anything he could do verbally. The worst that's going to happen is you're going to offend somebody that might hear it, but that doesn't
right.
make him a threat.
Right, right. And that's I think that's the trouble that this officer has, is that it's hard to divine from that video. And like you said, even if you had sound, it would be hard to divine what the physical threat he was posing was. Now, he clearly does turn around before he gets punched, and he says something to the officer, and he points at him. But that's even that is not, you know, unless he's making a verbal threat, you know, it seems like it's an overreaction. And you know, you also, I think, have to sort of deal with the backdrop here in Detroit. This is a city where, you know, the history of that kind of police brutality is very rich, you know, dating back 40, 50 years. And more recently, you know, the police department has been for almost a decade under the supervision of the federal government for its practices in detaining people and in how it deals with citizens. And so, I think in Detroit especially, there's an even more sort of visceral reaction that people have when we see these kind of things. And, you know, when I first heard about this, my fear, my greatest fear, was that the victim would be African American and the cops would be white, because that would make it take on an entirely different tone. In this case, all of the parties involved were white, but still, I think in a lot of people's minds, this just sort of recalls all the problems that we have with the relationship between police in Detroit, who have a very tough job and most of whom work really hard at it, but citizens who feel like a lot of times they're victims of the department.
Well, it's astounding. I mean, it's astounding when you stop and think about, you know, from a public relations standpoint, what this does and what it does to not just one but two careers. And now, as we learned in the article that was in the Free Press this morning by Gina Damron, you know, there's reason to believe that one of these police officers is a habitual liar.
Yeah. I mean, see, that's the thing that you always worry about with this stuff is, you know, we have a real problem in that department with some officers who probably, I'm not going to say they don't belong there, but certainly have done things before that would suggest that, you know, they're not the finest example in the department. And so then when something like this happens, you worry that it's one of those cases. And then it becomes more than just a single individualized incident. Now it becomes a discussion about the department generally and how it deals with officers who engage in inappropriate behaviors. And that's what the city can't really afford right now. I mean, the truth is that they've been making tremendous progress under federal supervision since Chief Godbey's been here. And this would be a huge setback to that. I mean, a very public, very visible, high-profile lawsuit that, you know, I would think you'd have to settle for a lot of money for brutality would suggest that we haven't progressed as far as we thought we had.
Fair enough. You know, and then there's the actual monetary cost. You and I both see it coming, Stephen Henderson. There's going to be a price tag put on this thing, somebody's going to walk away with high six figures, and you know, God forbid, for basically being a drunk jerk at the casino.
I think the video has settlement written all over it, and it would in any department, but especially in Detroit, where you know, where almost any complaint against the city has a better chance of being settled than it does other places because of the lack of resources in the law department, you know, bad decisions, things like that. I mean, we tend to settle lots of cases and pay out lots of money. So I think this guy's definitely got a windfall, Carmen. Which is, like you said, it's too bad because he clearly was not acting appropriately himself either.
No question, and not acting appropriately himself. All right, we need to take a very quick break here. We've got other things to get to. I'm stunned. Folks, if you haven't seen the video, go to freep.com. You'll easily find it. I mean, it's right there. And certainly you'll find the article that the Detroit police officer on restricted duty after fists fly at casino. It's attached to that story, so you will find it. Go check it out yourself. Stephen Henderson, again, my guest. He is editorial page editor at the Detroit Free Press. I'm Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. A quick break here. We'll come back and continue our discussion right after this.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to say this. This isn't political. I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Still looking at a couple of accidents out there on the freeway. 696 westbound at DeQuinto. We have an accident there on the shoulder. Traffic is backed up to Hoover. That accident we did have at Hoover is now gone. 94 eastbound at Michigan Avenue. We have an accident there on the shoulder. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, cloudy, showers are likely, a high in the mid-60s tonight. Chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a low around 49. And then tomorrow, partly sunny, a slight chance for a shower in there as well, a high right around 65. Currently, it's mostly cloudy and 56 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
I'm sure you're thinking, boy, I'd like to pay less for my car insurance, but switching seems like a lot of work. All the hassle and whatnot. Well, I'm here to tell you that is simply not the case. GEICO makes it so easy to switch and start saving money straight away without getting buried in a ton of paperwork. You know, that actually happened to me once. Literally, I was buried under my income taxes for 6 days. Haunting, really.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Cancer takes the life of one person every minute. Join the Stand Up to Cancer movement at standuptocancer.org and help fund collaborative research to save lives now. Together we can bring a faster end to cancer as we know it. Donate today. Call 888-90-STAND or go to standuptocancer.org. 100% of your contributions will go directly to funding today's most promising cancer research. This is where the end of cancer begins.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is John Austin, the president of the Michigan Board of Education.
Some on the right trying to use this moment of fiscal challenges with the need to figure out how we improve education to say, let's take advantage of that to dismantle unions and dismantle teachers' unions in particular, because they view them as a political foe that needs to be countered versus potential partner in helping deliver the very education improvement and reform that we must deliver.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WD.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Well, and it seems that not all members of Congress think alike. There's no question that's true. We, of course, have our two major political parties. As the front page of the Free Press clearly shows today, Congressman Hanson Clark has an innovative idea to help perhaps fund the revitalization of the city of Detroit. We talked about it earlier in the show today. It happens to be our Facebook poll question of the day as well. Do you support, and again, I want to refer you to the Free Press and read it before you vote in the poll. But we also see that there are members of Congress that can't seem to figure out the right thing to do when it presents itself, especially as it revolves around emergency funding for national disasters. FEMA comes to mind. An interesting conversation happens over the last couple of days where there's perhaps a challenge to even shut down our government over whether or not we are going to help people that need help in times of disaster. Stephen Henderson, I turn to you now for maybe some help in sanity or clarity or something along the lines, but I'm shaking my head a lot right now because I just don't get it anymore.
Yeah, I don't think I do either. I mean, this is the second or third time in a very short window that we've seen congressional Republicans hitch one issue to to the debt issue, sort of an unrelated issue to the debt issue, and hold that issue hostage as a way to sort of leverage a political argument that they can't win otherwise. And, you know, like we talked before about doing this with the debt ceiling, right? The debt ceiling doesn't have anything to do with future spending, because it's about money that you've already spent. But we saw Republicans hold the whole country hostage over that issue for weeks this summer. Now they've been at it again. Emergency disaster funding has always been something that we deal with in this country. We don't let states that get hit by tornadoes or hurricanes or floods or whatever just suffer because of a lack of funding. But you had Republicans saying, we're not going to fully fund the rest of the FEMA funding for this year unless you offset that money somehow in brutal cuts elsewhere. And, you know, we've got some Michigan members of Congress who play this game as avidly as anybody else. And it's just getting to be, I mean, it's irresponsible, but it's also getting to be very tiring. I mean, we do have to have a conversation about debt in this country, but there's a rational way to do it, and you don't do it in a way that holds innocent people hostage.
Well, and Eric Cantor certainly loves to hold issues and people and the country hostage. There's no question that's true. You know, we take a look at, you know, and really the disgusting thing about this whole FEMA fight. And it should be a little embarrassing for the Republicans, because all of a sudden somebody realized, we only have to fund FEMA through the end of the week because their new budget, which has already been approved, starts Saturday.
Right.
So
right.
All of a sudden it became a non-issue, and quickly, you know, people run for cover. But that doesn't erase what they tried to do, Stephen.
Yeah. Right. And if you think about what's going on in this country right now with emergency relief, I mean, we've had a pretty big hurricane hit the East Coast. We've had all kinds of wildfires in Texas. I mean, this has not been, you know, a period of relative calm on that front. And there are a lot of people in a lot of states waiting for help from the federal government, which is, again, you know, one of the more what I find really interesting about this is that some of the issues that they hold hostage are fundamental social compact issues in this country. I mean, there are certain values that we just hold in this country about how we take care of one another and how what we're not willing to let happen to fellow Americans. And Republicans seem increasingly willing to just throw those out the window to sort of elevate their arguments about social spending. And I just think that's the wrong way to go about it. I do think it's irresponsible. I think it's morally irresponsible, but it's also politically irresponsible. I mean, they can't win the argument that they've been making about these programs. I mean, they can't get rid of Social Security. Nobody's in favor of that. They can't get rid of Medicare. And so as a way to sort of leverage those things, they're grabbing onto these other issues and saying, well, we'll sacrifice these people if you don't do that. And it's just, it's not productive. It's not going to get us anywhere. I think it's going to get worse now that we're going into an election year and that they, you know, are going to try to get the White House back in the Senate. But we've got to get past it if we're going to get to any of these things substantively.
Well, now we've had this conversation a couple times, Stephen Henderson, so it brings me, you know, back to square one, which is they don't want to have the discussion. Well, maybe they want to have a discussion, but not the discussion about moving us forward as a nation, about creating real jobs. I fear very much that once we adjust the jobs, especially here in the state of Michigan, you know, all the seasonal jobs pretty much have ended in September. I think our 11.2 is going to probably creep up to 11.5, 6, or 7.
Yeah.
That's problematic, not just for the governor and not just for the legislature. It's difficult for the people that are unemployed, Stephen. Those are the people we're not meeting their needs.
Yeah, that's right. And we aren't talking about the big picture stuff that's holding us back from creating jobs. I mean, Republicans only want to frame it in the context of taxes and regulation, which are, you know, for most business owners, those are minor considerations when you're talking about the size of your payroll or the size of your workforce. It has much more to do with demand for your product. And, you know, in the big picture, you have a couple of problems that are holding that back. And we're not talking about those things. We're not talking about dealing with our trade imbalances, for example, which I think are really holding back demand for American products. We're not talking about long-term restructuring of debt and lowering of debt, which would also entail a discussion of taxes and tax rates and some tax increases. Instead, we're stuck arguing about these sort of minor issues that score political points for Republicans but don't fix the problem. And it's very frustrating right now, I think, because things are so desperate. And as you point out, there are so many people out of work. It's very frustrating that we can't get to that discussion because of the politics. But I suppose that, at some point we won't have a choice, right? I mean, at some point you're reaching near depression levels, of unemployment, and we'll have to deal with it.
Yeah, but so, Stephen, very, very quickly, because we're almost out of time, you know, let's remind people, as of October 1st, and just real numbers, 6,555 Detroit adults, 17,000. Yeah. 787 Detroit children on October 1st will lose food assistance, My Child, Medicaid, WIC, Step Forward, Michigan Special Health Care Services, Michigan Works, vaccinations. I can go on. They're going to lose these benefits as of October 1.
Yeah. I think a lot of people haven't really sat and contemplated what the ripple effect of that's going to be. I mean, that's a tremendous pulling back of resources from all kinds of families around the state, and it's going to have an impact.
I'm afraid
to make things worse.
I'm afraid, Stephen. I truly am afraid. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your wisdom and your vision. I appreciate your time. I truly do.
No problem. Anytime, every week.
All right. Thank you, Stephen. I appreciate it. Again, Stephen Henderson, editorial page editor at the Detroit Free Press and host of American Black Journal on PBS Sundays at 2 o'clock. We'll take a quick break here. William Greider on the other side of this. I'm Tony Truppiano. Please stay with us.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Got an accident in the launch, southbound at Livernois. Shoulder is blocked. Traffic is backed up to McNichols. Looking at some heavy delays. 75 southbound from Rochester Road all the way down through 8th Mile. 275 northbound after Ford Road. Still an accident in the shoulder there. 94 eastbound at Michigan Avenue. We have another accident in the shoulder. That's causing some minor delays. And 696 westbound is slow from 75 all the way out towards Evergreen. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, that low pressure system that's been giving us clouds and rain all week long continues to do so. Showers are likely today, cloudy, a high near 65. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a slight chance for a shower, a low in the upper 40s. And then tomorrow, partly sunny again, a slight chance for another shower, a high near 65. Currently, it's mostly cloudy and 56 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Speedwagon, High Infidelity, the 2-CD 30th Anniversary Edition, featuring Keep On Loving You, Take It On The Run, and the previously unreleased Crystal Demos. Available now on Legacy Recordings.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Postal workers and supporters are rallying to save the U.S. Postal Service. Jesse Russell reports.
The men and women of the United States Postal Service held rallies in every congressional district in the country yesterday. Their goal was to deliver a message to Congress about how to proceed regarding the Postal Service's financial crisis. The workers see the crisis as being caused in part by a 2006 congressional mandate that requires the Postal Service to pre-fund future retiree health benefits for the next 75 years. They have a decade to achieve this goal, requiring payments of $5.5 billion per year. The postal workers want Congress to pass a bill that would allow the Postal Service to pay for their operating budget out of the money they've overpaid into retiree health care. There are a number of bills being floated in Congress, and few actually include a provision that would loosen the 2006 mandate. Instead, they tend to rely on laying off hundreds of thousands of workers, ending mail service on Saturdays, and shuttering nearly 500 mail processing facilities.
Since September 17th, protesters have occupied Wall Street, delivering a message that we are the 99% and will no longer tolerate the greed and corruption of the 1%. Occupy Wall Street describes itself as a leaderless and diverse resistance movement active in the occupation of Wall Street. They and other groups like the NYC General Assembly and U.S. Days of Rage are helping to organize the occupation. They're setting up beds, kitchens, and peaceful barricades and say they're using Arab Spring tactics to restore democracy in America. Here are the voices of some of the 99% who are occupying Wall Street.
I'm Camille Ramin. I'm from New York. Occupy Wall Street is about taking back my community and reestablishing what it is to have a true home on this planet.
My name is Marina Citrin, and I live in Brooklyn, New York. And what this is about for me most is exercising our long-sleeping democracy muscle.
Well, my name's Ashley, and I'm from Canton, Ohio. I got here on a bus yesterday. I make, like, maybe $50 a week. I live on nothing, and I just hate that money and greed and corruption is pretty much making our laws and running the country. And that's why I'm here. I don't like it, and I want it to stop.
My name is Miriam. I live in New York, and I'm here because I want this to be a country where the government takes care of people who need help and takes care of all of its people rather than taking care of the richest people and the corporations.
This newscast made possible in part by Ulico, the Union Labor Life Insurance Company. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary for Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back, everybody. As we've been discussing all week, and I've promoted, on Saturday, October 1st at 6 p.m., the Douglas Debs Dinner will take place at UAW Local 600 on Dix Avenue in Dearborn. In a little bit, I'll give you all the information how to get tickets. Their keynote speaker is William Grider, who is my next guest. He is the National Affairs correspondent for The Nation magazine. He's also a prominent political journalist and author and has been a reporter for more than 35 years. He is the author of national best-selling books, One World, Ready or Not, Secrets of the Temple, and Who Will Tell the People, and his most recent book is The Soul of Capitalism, Opening Paths to a Moral Economy. God, are those not words that find us at the right time? And let me welcome William Grider to First Shift. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Well, it'll be a pleasure to have you in the Detroit area on Saturday at the Douglas Debs Dinner here at UAW Local 600. What's the topic of the keynote address, William?
Well, it's going to be probably all of a lot, but basically I think we're at a huge historic turning point, which is kind of obvious in the economics, but I think also in the politics.
You know, I've been interested to talk to you this morning because Bob King, who is the president of the United Auto Workers, has coined a phrase that I adopted as my own, and I love to embrace and I love to share it with people, and that is, in context of today's political structure, that, you know, budgets are moral documents. I'd love your thoughts on that phrase.
Yeah, well, we can read it pretty clearly that our government, both parties are indicted here, has lost the set of values it once had, and that's why people are grieving. I think is they know, they may not know it that specifically, but they know it in the sense of their lives and so forth. I mean, one of the things I'm preoccupied by is this foreclosure crisis, which, you know, you all have experienced, and it's in different parts of the country, very intense, and destroying people, literally destroying them, for reasons that are totally financial. People made some mistakes, yes, but basically they got blindsided by the financial collapse, and now the banks, to keep their own balance sheets whole, are going after them and essentially running them down, taking their homes and getting whatever they can out of them.
You know, the true irony of what you just said is literally an hour ago we had in studio with us somebody that is a mortgage fraud investigator and then shared with this audience that the kind of mortgage mills that are ruining people today illegally without being punished.
Right, and that's back to your the budget is a moral document. For a relatively small amount of money, that is some billions, but not much compared to the wars we're fighting and other projects, you could reduce the capital owed on those mortgages. People could keep their homes, have a mortgage that they could manage and pay, and stabilize communities. I mean, the benefits are pretty obvious. And what drives me nuts is one who lives in Washington and knows the temperament here. That's not on the agenda in Washington. Yes, there are a few good people who stand up and argue for it, but basically neither party wants to touch that. And the answer, of course, is pretty obvious. They don't want to take on the banks.
Well, this is just, you know, it's wrong. We need to come together. Obviously, well, part of the reason that we do events like the Douglas Debs Dinner is to bring like-minded people together, to encourage them to, you know, to try to enhance their knowledge. And I want to encourage people to come out on Saturday. Let me give them the information. The Douglas Debs Dinner is this Saturday, October 1st at 6 p.m. It's at UAW Local 600, which is on Dix Avenue in Dearborn. For more information, folks, to get your tickets, you can RSVP to David Green at 248-761-4203, 248-761-4203, or email at dsagreen@aol.com. And again, William Greider will be the keynote speaker. And unfortunately, I will not be able to make it on Saturday, but I wish you the best. I want to thank you for giving us a little bit of your time this morning.
Yeah, thanks, Tony, for having me.
My pleasure. By the way, the William Greider is certainly going to be well worth the trip alone, folks. If you want to go just to hear him, it's well worth it. I'm sure they're going to have a wonderful dinner. They will be honoring the Reverend Edwin Rowe from the Central United Methodist Church in Rock, Michigan, who we have highlighted on this very show ourselves. So William Greider, the National Affairs Correspondent with The Nation magazine. I really want to encourage folks to get involved. Again, let me give you that contact information one more time. For further information, at RSVP, David Green at 248-761-4203, or email him at dsagreen@aol.com. And so I really want to encourage folks to do that. I might as well do announcements now since we're there. Tonight, by the way, I am going to be speaking at Tracy's Corner Cafe on Hoover Road in Warren. It's also called the Beat Cafe, Tracy's the Beat Cafe. Tonight at 6:30, I will be there speaking to a group of very concerned citizens who have been very actively involved in the recall of Governor Snyder, and looking forward to coming out there. So if you'd like to come out this evening, it starts at 6:30. I will be there, ready, raring to go at 6:30. And it's at Tracy's Corner Cafe, which is at 29200 Hoover Road in Warren. And again, it's also known as the Beat Cafe, tonight at 6:30 to 8:30. And looking forward to that. I'm thinking, Jeff, after talking to you yesterday, maybe I should hire your dad as my publicist, because the first thing he asked you was, he gets paid to do this, right? Of course, I don't get paid. And I don't ask to be paid. I don't want to be paid to speak. So I should make that clear up front. I joke. I jest, if you will.
That's right. You do it because you can't say no. Nice of a guy.
It's not just because I can't say no. I don't want to say no. I want to meet the people that listen to this show. I enjoy it. I know I keep saying I'm going to have you come to one of these things, but you really should come out to one of these. I think you'd really enjoy meeting the people. You know, it's kind of like when we had the Stephanie Miller show, we had the after party. You know, tell me you didn't enjoy meeting some of the listeners of the show. Of course you did.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's, you know, and they like to put a face to a voice as well, and we do, because if you call the show, you know, you ever, like, picture somebody, if you hear them on the radio or something, and you wonder what they look like, and sometimes you're right on when you meet them, and sometimes you're just like, wow, completely different than what I was expecting.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Yeah, then people are normally, I walk in and they go, really? Really, you?
They didn't think that you were quite as handsome?
Well, I appreciate the thought. Yesterday was the big postal rally. I got a couple messages, one email, one tweet that people went. I would love to know how it went out at Candace Miller's office on Van Dyke. So if anybody was out there yesterday, give us a call. By the way, we're open lines at the top of the hour, so feel free to give us a call, 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. Would be really curious to hear what the turnout was there. You know, obviously, we promoted it very heavily on this program, and I know they were promoting it in other places. I'm just curious what happens. Now, as a separate issue, but still affecting the Postal Service, I got an update. You'll remember I had Christopher Ulmer on, the president of the letter carriers in Detroit. They're going to close the 12 branches. You, of course, all remember that. Well, the U.S. Postal Service management is proceeding with its ongoing campaign to degrade service to the citizens of the city of Detroit by announcing its intention to, quote-unquote, study closing of several post offices in geographic Detroit, which are presently open to the public. While mail will continue to be delivered from the various offices being studied for closure, retail postal services such as stamp purchases, passports, migratory bird stamps, and money orders, package mailing and pickup will not be available to the citizens, to the affected areas in Detroit. If the U.S. Postal Service moves forward with ending retail postal services at the studied offices, much of the city of Detroit and the city of Ferndale will be left without access to such retail postal service. Thus, continues a trend of reducing services in the Detroit area, which had been ongoing for some time. As required by law, the public comment and information meetings must be held in each neighborhood considering the intended closures. Here's the key, folks. Local U.S. Postal Service management has scheduled meetings in affected areas all on the same day, September 29th, 2011. However, that just, of course, makes it harder for you to get to all these meetings, especially if you want to go to more than one, right? The American Postal Workers Union has determined to focus its attention on the public meeting being held concerning the closure of the Kensington Station, zip code 48224 office. The meeting is to be held at the Bethany Christian Church at 5901 Cadieu in Detroit from 6 to 8 p.m. And so, folks, get out there and support them again. We got to continue to do this stuff. The American Postal Workers wish to bring the USPS abandonment of Detroit to the attention of the public, and this is, of course, one of their ways of doing that. I don't know why we're doing this. Why are we going after teachers and policemen and firemen and public sector workers and postal workers? It's just insane. 888-552-3595. Let's take a quick break. We'll wrap it up on the other side. Tony Trupiano, we'll be back on First Shift. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
They want to see two girls come together and have a mud wrestling fight. And I think that this race is wide open.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Recently on First Shift.
Steve Cooper with the We Party Patriots. How important do you think social media is to organize labor today?
Incredibly important. I think you're seeing galvanized movements globally, and it's taken hold, obviously, in the States as well. The thing with social media is that it has to be a necessary component because you know that the next guy is doing it. And if he's not yet doing it, he's going to be doing it. So you want to make sure you beat him to that punch.
So that hashtag #OneU, when I put that at the end of a tweet, what does that do with regard to getting my message out to more people?
Well, the hashtags, they essentially act as a kind of filing cabinet within Twitter. You can now follow a sort of stream of union consciousness. And the key to that happening is everybody knowing where to gather, essentially where to meet and talk about this. We're trying to provide that sort of unique voice to get more and more people involved.
First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW. Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. Tony Trupiano with you. Let me get to an email here I got over the break. I think is important. It says, why should I cheer on someone who has remained in their house for 5 years without making a single payment? Examples cited by your guest today. While my husband and I struggle each month to pay our mortgage, while the banks have done wrong, it still reminds me of a criminal who is guilty and gets off on a technicality. No one ever said real estate was a risk-free investment. All investments carry risk. I think the victim mentality in this country is overriding common sense. Make your payment, keep your house. I am enjoying your show. Love the fact that it's local. Thank you. Keep up the good work. Thanks, Cheryl. Yeah. And of course, Steve also was very clear to say you should be making your payment. Now, there are people that that aren't making payments, and maybe that's compensation in some way, and I get it. But he did say very, very clearly said, no, people, you need to make your payment. Don't stop making your payment. And so, so I just wanted to make sure that we clarified that a great deal. Let me, because I think it's important, you know, we talked about the Buffett rule a couple weeks ago. President Obama talked about taxing those in society that are doing well, right? And, of course, there's going to be polling on this stuff, and we're finally getting some of that polling in. And what that polling's telling us is that 73% of the public support the Buffett rule, including 66% of Republicans. 2/3 of Republicans support the Buffett rule. I guess I was a little surprised by how high that number is, because it is significantly and statistically quite high. Ever since President Obama proposed raising the taxes on millionaires as part of a debt reduction package, Republicans have been refining their defense for resisting the change. There are job creators, they argue, and these are job creators, they argue, and the economic growth will be hampered if they have to pay more income to government, but it looks like they may have to find something more effective. Now, there's a difference between the Republican politicians and the Republican voters. And the first public polling available on the so-called Buffett rule, specifically the proposal to raise taxes on millionaires advocated by billionaire investor Warren Buffett, Daily Kos and SEIU's weekly State of the Nation survey asked the following. Do you support or oppose ensuring that people who make over $1 million a year pay the same percentage of taxes or more on their total income as those who make less than $500,000 a year? The answer wasn't close. 73% supported the idea versus 16% who did not, 11% who were unsure the poll was of 1,000 registered voters. Daily Kos, who took the opportunity to revel in the results, said, indeed, every demographic subgroup favors the idea. Republicans back at 66-17, even self-identified Tea Partiers, the weakest supporters, are at 52-29% of those making over $100,000. That's interesting. Even Tea Partiers.
That seems odd.
Yeah, well, listen, it's a poll of 1,000 people, so.
It's crazy.
Voters have shown a willingness to include raising taxes within a plan to address the deficit, and especially on those Americans making $250,000 or more. A recent Pew survey showed 66% support the idea, and 63% of a poll in CBS News and New York Times also supported it. The president himself has seemingly grasped onto that statement, going on the road promoting his jobs and debt reduction plans with the populist rhetoric. It's also further evidence that Obama is distancing himself from the ongoing squabbling of Congress, which he needs to do, of course, embracing more popular proposals and taking them directly to voters. That's never a bad idea, by the way. Caller wants to know where I'll be speaking later. Sure. I can mention that again. I will be at Tracy's Corner Cafe at 29200 Hoover Road in Warren from 6:30 to 8:30 this evening. I understand that Tracy's Corner Cafe has excellent food.
And that is the, well, not the most important part, but it's a very important part for people
on
radio.
For you, it's the most important part.
We love food. At least I do.
Yeah, I normally don't eat at these things because obviously I'm speaking. So I don't normally eat at them. But,
that's the difference between you and Jim Price.
Yeah, Jim Price
speaks and eats at the same time.
Does he really?
You can hear him eating when he does broadcasts.
You're right, you can. You're right. And he often does talk. You know, I get a kick at Jim Price every time he goes, what does he say? Every time they mention a city, he'll go, great place or beautiful place, whatever he says.
Yeah, he's got a lot of sayings.
Yeah, it just drives me nuts because he's never been to half these places.
Well, yeah, you know what, though? Didn't Ernie Harwell used to do, a man from...
Barcelona, Michigan.
Right,
yes.
He'll take that ball home. I don't know. I mean, Ernie probably could have been to a lot of those places, but that was kind of unique.
Yes. Yeah, well, yeah, Ernie was unique. I miss Ernie. I do. I miss Ernie.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cool that I was able to really go to the ballpark towards the end of his days, and he was around a lot. And I didn't know. Did you know this? The Cleveland Indians opponent's press box or opponent's press area is actually named after Ernie Harwell.
I did know that. Yeah,
that's to me. I just thought that was an outstanding sign of respect.
Very classy. I mean, listen, when Ernie Harwell, when the Detroit Tigers got rid of him the first time. I don't know how old you were, Jeff. I just don't know. I mean, I have no idea. And I don't know if you remember how big a deal that was. But it was, Rathburn and Riz didn't have a chance in the world. Didn't have a chance in the world. The people were outraged that they got rid of Ernie Harwell and Paul Carey. I mean, it was a national outrage.
No, I do remember that. Bye-bye baseball, and you're right. No matter who that was, it could have been Vince Scully, and we would have not been happy with whoever replaced Ernie at that point. So.
No question that's true. I mean, no question that's true at all. So, I got time. I should do last word. How much time do I have?
Less than 60 seconds.
Never mind. Then I won't do last word. I got to get back to last word. I actually had a couple people send me emails yesterday. You haven't done last word in a while.
You kind of gave a quick last word yesterday.
Did
very
I?
Quick. You said, last word is money. Have a good night.
Yeah, well. All right. Well, I guess we're done for the day. We got a lot done today. What are we doing tomorrow?
We have a good talk with Richard Bernstein scheduled.
Yeah, we're going to follow up on the law school admission thing. So we've got David Holtz from Progress Michigan tomorrow. So that's always a great conversation. So, yeah, we got a lot to do.
We'll have discussions as well, more open line time, because it seems we didn't, obviously we're packed with guests today. We should get into the Hallmark thing tomorrow.
What do you think? Let's bring that back up. What do you think about maybe doing one show a week, no guests? Well, maybe not the whole show.
Well, there goes that idea.
Well, no, because we've got regular guests every day. So
you mean just the one regular guest.
Right. So, like, we did one day last week. Remember, we didn't have any guests on, I think it was last Tuesday, and we only had one at 8 o'clock. We had, actually, we didn't have a guest. Mihalakis was out sick.
Right, and our most important guest was the listener.
The listener. Maybe we should do that once a week. We're just going to do the regular guest and nobody else and give us a chance to get to know each other a little better. Fair enough?
I think it's awesome when we get to hear from the
people. All right, well, that's got to do it. I got to get out of here. Jeff and Todd and Anthony, thank you so much for everything you guys did today. Of course, the audience, it's about you. Off the air, tony@thetonyshow.org. Come see me at Tracy's Cafe tonight out in Warren at 6:30. And I want to thank all of you. And as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Still going to have some delays. 275 northbound between Ann Arbor Road and the 96 and 14 interchange, and 75 southbound is slow from 14 mile down through 8 mile. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, showers likely cloudy, a high near 65. Tonight, chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a low around 49. And then tomorrow, partly sunny, a high near 65. Slight chance for a shower in there, too. Right now, it's mostly cloudy and 56 degrees at the Troy City Airport. Have a great day, everybody.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.